What's going on? This is Xavier Woods, a.k.a. Austin Creed, and you're listening to Stan, Ro, and Camus on the SGP Podcast. Shut up, Camus!
Are you ready? Listening to the SGP Podcast.
You are listening to the longest running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the SGP Podcast. Stancy, Romaran, Raf Gamos, and Chino Liao back together, and we've got a special guest this week. We're welcoming one of the OG critics of SmartKenry.ph, Mikey Llorin.
Hi.
Remind people what your voice sounds like.
Oh, yeah. God.
Because you haven't been on this for a while.
I'm under the weather today. Hi, this is my voice.
No. I remember the first time you were on this podcast. It was one of my favorite episodes ever.
Oh, that's so nice.
Because we went almost as long, almost half as long as Revolution X.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I didn't even know that was possible.
So, like a quarter of an MWF show?
I don't know. Well, that was the time. That was the time.
Yeah, but that was one.
You're allowed to say that. We're not.
Yeah, out of delicadeza and journalistic integrity.
Yes, sir.
Because we still have that, Chino. Yeah. You just started as a journalist. Wala ka pang KBP license, none of that bullshit.
Wow, do you have a KBP license?
I do not.
Do you have a thing that says press on your car?
Pretty sure I'm the only one in this room that has it.
Yeah, that's why I'm speaking for you, sir.
Oh, wait.
Because you have actual journalistic integrity to uphold.
Oh, wow. Right. Okay, now
you took an oath, di ba?
Yes. Now we're sucking each other's cocks. Thanks, Revo X main eventer.
Yeah! Cocksuckers!
So we brought Mikey on this week because we are reviewing PWR Revolution X on the show. So for the second half of the podcast, it'll be Chino and Mikey bouncing around a lot of thoughts. And the three of us will just sit here, eat popcorn, drink tea, and probably facilitate every now and then. But before we get to that, it was an explosive week in wrestling, starting off with Double or Nothing, the big All Elite Wrestling debut show. And then it was followed up by another explosive thing, which was the Dean Ambrose / Jon Moxley podcast on Talk is Jericho.
Which naturally comes after his debut on said AEW show.
It ties together so nicely to the point that it's like, ah, puta. Ito ba yung plano nyo all this time?
Pretty sure that
was the plan.
They recorded the podcast like days before the show.
They knew it was going to happen.
Yeah. But obviously, it was a concerted PR effort.
That's why my media planning involved.
Yes, exactly.
Ang ganda.
Let's start with the show as a whole, Double or Nothing. I'm assuming all of us have seen the show.
Yes.
All of us in
have you, sir?
I have not. See? I've seen like the opening and like the YouTube stuff.
The Battle Royale?
But I haven't. I watch it in between classes.
All you need to do is see the Battle Royale moon, and then it's like it just gets better and better and better.
Okay.
I agree.
So I have a thing with these elite shows. I always find a way to not watch the Young Bucks match. I don't know why. I just always skip over it.
What is wrong with you, sir?
I'm just not invested in the Young Bucks, all right? I mean, I love
what
Pentagon
is wrong
Jr.
with you, sir?
I love Pentagon Jr. I love Phoenix. I'm just not invested in the Young Bucks. I still haven't seen
Six-Man
from All In. I am
more invested in the Lucha Bros more than I am in the Young Bucks.
What is wrong with you, sir?
Lucha Bros, bro.
So I haven't even seen yung six-man match from All In. Like, that's how not invested in the Young Bucks I am in, right? So,
well, shit.
I've seen every other match from from Double or Nothing, though, so you can't...
You watch every match except that?
Yes.
And you don't know why?
Well, I watched Cody Dustin, tapos, oh, okay, Young Bucks na. Skip na ako sa Jericho and Omega, matutulog na ako eh. So I go to Jericho Omega, oh, okay, I'm sleepy, go to bed. Uh-huh. Wake up the next day.
To be fair... No. To be fair, the middle of that show is so good. Like
the
aforementioned Cody versus Dustin match.
That was my favorite.
The placement. This is the placement of a match that belongs like right before you go to intermission.
Yes.
That's what it is.
To be honest with you, if you can't catch everything on Double or Nothing, you
watch
can
that.
Stop.
Watch
you can stop after that.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. Actually, you can stop after that.
Because like what I did was I watched up until there, and then I had to stop, have lunch, have a drink, and then it's just like, oh my god, this is so good.
I didn't even know that Dustin Rhodes, aka The Natural.
Aka the artist formerly known as Goldust.
Yeah, I didn't know that he had all of that in him. I'm galing.
What?
Like, it
was
so surprising.
Okay, were you here for the WWE show?
He was here. He was there. Yeah.
You were there, right?
Yeah, I was here. Yeah.
You watched him versus Strowman.
Yes.
It was at that point that I knew that he was like holding back and that he had so much more in the gas.
He's old.
It was at that point?
No.
Because he did not take any bumps.
Yeah, he didn't take any bumps.
Okay.
That's the thing. But when during that match, it's like, okay, wait. Yeah, the man behind the mask has more to live for.
Like, it makes sense why he'd go for the natural gimmick when he was in WCW because he's deceptively athletic.
Yes.
That it doesn't really come out when you're Goldust, right?
Cause true.
Because you're putting the gimmick over more than the athlete. Yeah. Right? So to see him as himself wrestling his match was just beautiful.
Sobrang emotional in the match from start to finish.
I teared up after.
Yeah. I probably say the same thing. The only things I couldn't get were like the pot shot at Triple H.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was unnecessary.
Oof.
Does he had the words "Attitude Killer" on his belt?
I also thought that was unnecessary. No, but then again, I could see how it relates to Goldust more than
Yeah, yeah. It can be construed as, you know, the new guard killing the old guard. Fine. Okay, but seriously,
the throne though was pretty petty.
A sledgehammer to the throne with special pyro effects. The sumabog pa when you smash the throne.
Tapos nag-collapse pa siya kahit hindi naman tinamaan ni
Cody. Exactly. But you know, it's a seat, pero yung back yung nasira.
Oh, yes. That's weird.
Because, but if you watch, like, and there is a mountain of post-show content before you even get to the Moxley stuff.
Which is great,
the interview,
by the way.
Which is great.
More of them should do that.
No, but, I mean, New Japan's always done it.
What's New Japan? I'm just joking. Sorry.
Oh, Kamus is about to have an aneurysm.
Matitrigger ako dito, sir.
Sorry.
Ikaw yung guest ko.
Okay.
No, but that's the thing. The parang, it's very much... When you see them talking to the press, like kayfabe slightly off, and they talk honestly as EVPs already, and you hear that, okay, we have to be doing business in opposition to WWE, then it makes sense. I'm like, okay, the pot shot is warranted because that shows we're going to war, buddy.
No.
Okay, sorry.
It's more, my thing is more of, okay, if you have to go to war, fine. If you have to be the competition to WWE, fine. Be that way. You are well within your rights. But please, have a little more taste in doing so.
Yeah.
Come on.
True, okay. The taste aspect is arguable.
It was not tasteless, but it was corny as fuck.
Yeah, I have to agree.
No, it was definitely corny, yeah.
I didn't appreciate that at
all. It was almost as if they did that just to say that they did that.
Yes.
They didn't think about having to do it well. They didn't think about what it had to mean. They knew that people would talk about, there's a Triple H throne, and he's going to break it.
No, it's a sledgehammer, too.
It's a sledgehammer given by the wife.
Yes.
To the VP, the authority figure.
That looks familiar.
And then Cody says in the end, I saw the post-match stuff.
Yes.
And Cody says in the end, like it's what it symbolizes was that I am more a wrestler than I am an executive. And I wanted to symbolically destroy the idea that Triple H is supposed to be this authority figure, and I'm saying, you know, screw that. I'm Cody Rhodes, a wrestler first. But who watching that moment ever thought, this is him representing what it means to be a wrestler?
The nerds on the internet. Yeah. Who's going to think that? The nerds on the internet and Reddit.
No, the nerds are going to say, Triple H, though.
Yes, exactly. That's the text.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing
that you will notice, right? The fact that he had to explain it means it went over everybody's head.
Exactly, yes. It's not saying that, I am doing this as a wrestler/manager.
Right.
What's the bigger piece of bullshit? Cody backtracking and saying that at the press con, or Amy Marcus's comments about her being young during the Archimedes?
Oh, you okay, Amy? Sure.
Amy, for sure. Amy is more full of
shit. Somebody died, Stan.
That's what I was going
to... A lot of people
died. You said it. A lot of people died, Stan. Okay, wait. Can I just say, like, just to wrap up on this point, the post-show stuff, the actual comments that he made about interracial marriage are actually more important than the entire show.
His whole point about being diverse and introducing diversity, specifically in AEW and
specifically with regard to his wife.
Yes, and in wrestling as a whole, was just the most poignant thing any wrestler has said in our current climate.
Now he just has to reconcile that with having voted for Trump.
Well, that's
at the same time, you know, he got retweeted by AOC.
AOC,
yeah.
AOC
that.
For fuck's sake.
Who's all elite now? Apparently,
AOC is all elite.
Send her a shirt.
No, the most powerful thing he said was not the value, but that we're not doing this for PR reasons.
Yes,
oh, yes. Which sounds like a shot also against WWE,
but they're not.
To make the shot more visible, they should induct AOC into the AEW Hall of Fame.
Already,
just do it. You give her
an invite to fight for the Fallen, and then you say, "Guys, special participation of AOC."
Yeah, oh,
that's gonna piss so many right wingers off.
No, but on the point of diversity, I guess, just to bring it back to the show, AEW did a very good job of making it visible but not beating you over the head with it. Nyla Rose being the most obvious example.
Yes. Guys, I did not know Nyla Rose was a trans person.
To be fair, hindi ko rin alam. I had to Google her to find out, really? Oh, she's a trans person.
Yeah, I did not know.
Okay, well.
And it could have fooled me.
And they didn't mention it at all.
Sorry.
I was like, sir?
Wording, yes. I mean, I didn't know any. I didn't know at all.
Okay,
I didn't know she was a trans person. Yeah. This is the first time I'm hearing of it.
And nobody said it. Right? Yeah, nobody said it on Congress.
Nobody pointed it out.
Nobody could have, but they didn't. At the same time, they could have pointed out that Emi Sakura was cosplaying as Freddie Mercury.
Yes.
They did not.
That was an egregious non-call.
Yes, that is. Okay, can we just talk further?
Not to be fair, Christopher Daniels also cosplayed, kind of. Freddie Mercury.
While we're still on diversity, the Asian representation, sir.
Yes, oh my god, yes.
That's pretty good. Yeah, yeah.
I have to say, the Joshis.
Yeah.
No, the Joshis had the strong excellent heart, match, though. But Strong Hearts though.
Strong Hearts pull up a
hearts
show.
Are fucking like okay, if this is the first three that we're seeing from OWE,
Oriental Wrestling Entertainment.
Yes. Yeah. OWE, this is the first bit we're getting. I want more.
Hey, say what you want about Strong Heart, pero papaligbas sila kay Black Heart.
What's that other heart guy's name? Fucking something heart din yun, diba? Tag team partner.
Black hearts sila. But I will say,
stop putting him over, Stan.
I wasn't even gonna mention it.
But yeah, Asian representation, very subtle,
very strong,
very subtle but very strong. So yeah. Great show.
The Joshi match. That was something special, too.
Aja fucking Kong. Yeah. It's still going.
Yeah, it blows my mind that Riho is only 21.
Have you seen that GIF of her wrestling Suzuki
when
she was 12?
Yes.
That's scary.
That was crazy.
JD, I was saying, how is she even alive?
You know that she's had the same... The length of career... Her career actually lines up with Naito's.
Yeah, yeah.
She's 21 years old.
And she has the same amount of ring time as Naito. Cool.
I also have to say that Yuka Sakazaki is like the most adorable wrestler now. Like, holy shit.
Yes, yes.
Tiny girl in magical genie outfit flying around. Adorable.
Doing the gimmick. The
magic girl.
Magic girl. It's so much fun to watch her. Like,
I think she out-adorables Kylie Rae.
Yeah.
Like, they did call her the Japanese analog of Kylie Rae during the podcast, right? Diba? So...
Then, of course, Hikaru Shida. That was the first time I'd ever seen her. And I'm now a believer. I am a fan.
Oh,
holy
my God.
Shit.
Yes, she's hot.
She's also super hot.
She is way hot. Ridiculous. Kay.
So,
sorry, Io.
Let's fast forward to the end of the show.
Yeah. Okay, so
we've covered everything, basically.
Yeah, the main event is Kenny Omega versus Chris Jericho. The winner goes on to take on Hangman Adam Page at Fight for the Fallen for the AEW World Championship.
Yeah, about that, the belt.
Okay,
the belt?
The belt for me is
the
like...
The belt?
Parang siyang successor ng IWGP Heavyweight title.
I can see the inspiration, yeah.
No, to me, it looks like what the big gold belt would look like if it were redesigned for 2019.
Yes, it looks like a silver version of the 10 pounds of gold, if that makes sense.
NWA?
Yeah, NWA belt.
Yeah, without as much color. That's
yes,
the thing.
Yeah.
It's like the flags.
Like
on
if
the,
it's toned down.
Toned down.
Yeah,
toned down, classed up.
Minimalist. Minimalist 10 pounds of gold.
I would say
it's
minimalist.
It's not minimalist.
No, bedazzled.
With the diamond inlays.
Compared to that, in your face, 10 pounds of gold.
Oh,
true.
Sure.
But that's, you know, for everyone at this table right now is a belt guy.
Yeah,
Mikey
that's true.
In particular.
Yeah, Mikey is the guy who walked down the aisle with the World Heavyweight Championship on his shoulder.
The aisle of my wedding, let's be clear.
Oh, yes, yes. The aisle of his own wedding.
Not like some random aisle.
I was picturing just the aisle of the WWE. Okay. What game did you join?
Yeah. Someone's going to be like, Stan, please clarify?
Yeah, okay.
So all our calls
came true. It turns out that indeed Jon Moxley
has signed
with AEW,
and he's pretty much the Stone Cold Steve Austin of AEW.
Right. You know what the funniest thing is? Like in the postscript of Double or Nothing, fucking JR, good old JR, goes on to say, nobody told me he was coming on. So his call is real.
Yeah.
Oh.
His call is real. It's like old man.
Oh, JR.
If you listen to his commentary throughout the show, there are times where things just go over his head.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yes.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, it's funny.
He thinks that all of the OWE guys are from China.
Oh, that was also funny. But let it not be said that Excalibur is the MVP of this show.
Yeah.
Excalibur is the MVP of
this show. No, he definitely legitimized the whole broadcast.
Yeah, yes. I also feel bad for Ali, who sounded like she was having an orgasm on commentary. It was just...
I'm so excited!
All she kept saying.
Ang
sad lang. I just wish someone had mentored her or guided her man lang so she wouldn't have looked silly on commentary. Let's leave it at that. So, Jon Moxley appears and lays waste to everybody and stands tall at the end, but let it not be said that Chris Jericho did not win against Kenny Omega, because he did. The Judas effect, for me, is a very underwhelming finisher.
I think, to me, it was just a spot that was rushed. Somewhere, something did not go right, and they had
to do the spot again!
Yeah, they had to do a couple of spots again,
yeah,
and the finish was like, oh, from out of nowhere, because we are lost.
Yeah.
So let's just end it now. That's why the first outing of the Judas Effect was not as exciting as we would hope for a strike finisher.
There's something I like, though, about this version of Chris Jericho. Wala yung evil face paint, but he's got the long hair. It's not wet. He really looks like an old rock star.
I was going to say Mick Jagger without the... Oh, no, Gene Simmons.
No. I would say Mick Jagger meets Tommy Lee. Parang ganun yung vibe.
Yeah, I would get the Tommy Lee vibe.
Tommy Lee now? I haven't seen him since the...
No, Tommy Lee now.
Tommy Lee as you imagine him. Like, when I say the name Tommy Lee, what do you think of?
Sex tape Tommy Lee. Yes, Tommy Lee.
Sex tape Tommy Lee.
So this Chris Jericho is basically an amalgamation of those two personalities. And it's very fascinating to me as the next evolution of the Chris Jericho character. So this really sets up a Fight for the Fallen this July, and you've already got a world championship match for that show. You've also got the tag team match between the Young Bucks and the Rhodes Brothers.
Ah, that was that magic. That's gonna be magic.
Yes, I'm not gonna skip that Young Bucks match.
Okay, as long as Goldie doesn't do a blade job, we're gonna have a great match.
Why do you say that? Sorry, I don't get it.
Because
what's wrong with the blade job?
No, the blade job during this show
was bad.
It was pretty bad.
It was gushing.
Oh, yeah. It was really gushing.
Like
Manula ho watching it.
Ah, that's the feeling.
And when they cut to it, just gushing.
And then you see, and then you realize who's the ref? Who's not? Oh, it's Hebner.
Hindi pa siya naka-gloves.
Yeah. And Hebner didn't even like, okay, stop muna. We're gonna just
tape you up a bit.
Tape you up. Voila.
They just let it go.
It's inconsistent with the whole NWA vibe they were trying to do, though. Was it at the expense of safety?
It feels like they or Goldust hasn't done it for a long time. So parang
nabigla. They
haven't bladed in a while. It's in the E, right? So.
Right.
Let's zoom out here. Looking at Double or Nothing now that it's over, now that we're a few days after the show has ended, does it feel like something WCW would be in 2019? Does it feel like what Impact should have been? Does it feel like what NJPW should be?
I would see the WCW take more than the Impact take.
Mm.
Simply because WCW shot out of NWA, right?
That was the original NWA intent.
And I get the whole, now that Mikey mentions it, I get the whole NWA vibe that they were going for. I get how they were just trying to merge different indie promotions into just one giant umbrella promotion without trying to stifle everybody the way WWE has.
You mean PWG?
Pretty much, but PWG doesn't...
PWG with a bigger platform there.
With more of a reach.
Yes.
With
not with less in, local California.
Because you know how PWG is always just concentrated into SoCal, and it's just and they have a limited number of seats. This one is like the same formula, but expanded to a much wider audience.
Hold on, I can't call it anything yet after one show. It's easy to say that this was a much better, more cohesive show than whatever the WWE would put out after, you know, during their usual pay-per-views. But until we see how AEW does in the weeklies, the monthlies, the weekly TV, live TV, monthly pay-per-views, and all of that, when they're in the trenches, we can't say yet whether they are a worthy rival to the WWE.
Yeah, Mikey.
Yeah, I agree with Chino and Ro completely. I don't think it knows what it wants to be yet. Or no, it might know what it wants to be yet, but we don't see it yet. Mm. This is a good show. All In was a good show. Let's see. Everybody's so excited to kind of like to define
anoint,
to bestow something upon it. But all it is right now is something that is not WWE and that people enjoy.
It's just that. It's not whatever the WWE is. That's what they were specific about.
Mm. Yeah. Right now it's just a good show, a great show.
In a vacuum. But when it extends into the rest, once you go from Double or Nothing into all of these sub-media, attached media, and that's the sort of the way we're gonna get to the podcast. Then you see how calculating they are. Now it's not just we have one show. There's follow through, and goddamn the follow through.
And they have time for the follow through though.
Yeah, they have. They don't have
a pay per view and a live TV show right after.
Yeah,
that doesn't allow for it. You know,
so there's breathing space.
Yeah, it's good planning by whoever's in charge.
Because the follow up punch to it was just too good of a follow up.
Yeah, that was Jon Moxley's appearance on Talk Is Jericho. So,
which dropped on not a Friday.
No, it dropped on its regular schedule. Yeah, Wednesday and Friday na kasi yung episodes niya. So, what I loved about it was how Jon Moxley starts by saying, I love WWE. I got all these good things out of it. Very good experience.
I was a make-a-wish guy.
And then he takes a big shit on Vince McMahon for the next 2 hours.
It's my favorite part of it as well.
So, it pretty much confirms everything we thought we knew about the goings-on behind the scenes. And I know how a lot of wrestlers and wrestling insiders will say, you think you know, but you don't. But in this case, when someone who is very deep in the system, someone who is a main eventer, actually says it for you to hear, for you to consume, I think we now have a very good idea.
That makes like two of them as well. You had CM Punk like 5 years ago doing it first, and then now you have Jon Moxley pretty much reinforcing what he said before.
In a way, si Jericho, as a guy who stirs the pot, medyo kinokorroborate din niya. Kasi when Moxley starts talking about the disputes with creative and how difficult it is to work with them and how the burnout is very real, Jericho actually backs it up. So it's not just CM Punk and Moxley going at it and saying, this is what I felt, this is the burnout, this is the bullshit, blah, 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 blah. Jericho actually says, as a guy who's been there for 18 years, I totally understand.
Right.
So at this point for us as WWE fans, it's much harder to love WWE. Like, it really is a big challenge now to go out and say, I love this brand, I love this company.
My biggest problem with it now is that there are some people who will cape for the WWE still and say na, okay, Dean Ambrose was given all these things. He was a Money in the Bank winner. He was a multiple-time champion. He was a world champion.
Triple crown winner.
Triple crown, Grand Slam, whatever have you. And then he would have the audacity to feel this way despite being given all that. But the thing about burnout is it doesn't matter if you are given these accolades on paper, because if you don't feel like the creative process is stimulating and substantial for you, then there's no helping you until the system changes.
It's funny how burnout was classified as an official disease, diba? As part of the
World Health Organization.
The World Health Organization cited it as an actual medical condition. It's funny that this comes out right on the week of the Moxley podcast. Mikey, we're going to say something about that now. His takes.
Yeah, I think the difference with Moxley, the reason that this is significant, is that this is a guy who doesn't owe. He has no axe to grind. He has nothing. He doesn't owe WWE anything anymore. Unlike Punk, who you love Punk, he's a main eventer, but you know that his axe to grind was he never main evented WrestleMania. I'm so tired of this. Ayoko na. I'm hurt. I'm mad at the doctor. So I leave. And then so many months later, do a podcast. Moxley fulfilled every obligation he could possibly fulfill.
And he shut up.
And he kept his mouth shut. So now he's legally, he can actually say everything he wanted to say. No one can think of it as a person who is disgruntled, who didn't get. This is a person who got all the glory that all the wrestlers want to get. And yet he's still saying that, yeah, everything you think about Vince is right.
Basically.
And he's also very fair. He's not saying he wants everyone to leave and that people who are staying there are stupid for staying. He's saying he
What Punk said.
That's what Punk said, right? He's saying the creative process for someone like me, who is a wrestler's wrestler, is absolutely crappy. It's crap. And I'm out to prove that thing is crap. And the fact that he's a guy who won those championships and got those accolades makes this account probably the most valid Vince criticism account of all time, is what I think.
Wow. Basically, do Russia.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
So, Moxley goes to great lengths to really take a shit on the pooper scooper. And the way that I listened to the entire thing, it really sounded like Moxley took a big shit. Yung tipong taing-tay ka na, and then nilabas mo na.
You would know something about that.
Yes.
Yeah, so, we all would.
The relief that comes with taking that dump, finally.
Yes.
That's what I got from the Moxley podcast. It's like that satisfaction na, yan na, nailabas ko na, I'm good. I may now move on with the rest of my life.
I think, though, he was gonna move on regardless, you know. It just so happens that he somebody with a platform so happened
to be his running buddy.
Yeah, and you know, thought that it would make for some good content.
And it is fire content.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I guess the question is, if you're a WWE fan and if you're still a huge fan of the product, of the brand, what have you, where do you go from here?
Do you still see this as a way to affect the WWE's product? Do you think it improves?
They have done that to themselves,
right?
Sir.
Do you think
Boombox Brock?
I'm not trying to defend them. I'm just saying we've talked about the same exact scenario when John Oliver came out with this piece.
True.
Right?
And we just talked about it last week with Ashley Massaro's affidavit.
Right? So it seems like week after week, something happens to the WWE that doesn't seem to affect their product. Right?
And that doesn't affect their mentality moving forward.
It doesn't affect their process.
Yes.
They still produce the same crap we still consume.
Boombox Brock?
Exactly, right? Yeah. So where does this go, though? Do fans still just support blindly?
Oh, I get it, though. I can't believe I'm going to say this because I'm not a huge fan of Vince's practices, especially behind the scenes, when it comes to people we especially like, when wrestlers we especially like. But for every Dean Ambrose, for every CM Punk, for every Sasha Banks who is disgruntled with the way they're being handled in the WWE right now, or you know wherever else have you, if you're not on NXT, you're on the main roster, and you're not being happy, you're not happy on the main roster. There are a bunch of people who are okay, perfectly okay, with getting a paycheck, doing their, or, you knowing their role. Wherever it may be on the card, whether it's as comic relief, as mid-carder, whether it's as enhancement talent, whether you're just stuck on 205 Live, whatever have you. There are people who are totally fine with that, and they are doing all right, doing their jobs, and doing whatever they're asked to. And then if you, it's also okay for fans to support those people getting by.
Yes.
It's also valid. Doing that is also valid. Not everyone has to be Dean Ambrose, a big star that has a lot of control over their creative or has big dreams about themselves. That's also fine. But the opposite side, the flip side, is also fine.
Because when you said that, you know what the first name that came into my head was?
What?
Kofi Kingston.
Sure.
That's a man who for 11 years,
sure.
That narrative, that was his narrative. Naparang, why has he never been champion? And then look, we have it now. Is he doing great? Yes. He's getting to meet the president of his country when he goes to Ghana. He's there now. That's why. I think it's happening now.
As we record.
So he's in Ghana meeting the president.
Not according to WWE. He's in Ghana, West Africa. Because the WWE West Africa is the country.
Oh.
Sorry, go on.
Fuck. I forget that. So, there. He's living in another level in the stratosphere that some people will never reach. That you get to be conquering champion, come home, and then, sure, if he drops the belt, but you get that. You get a moment like that. You get validation like that. That's a career, man. Like, call it a career. It's cool.
And it's not just Kofi. It's also the guys who are perfectly content not being in the spotlight, just collecting a paycheck. That's totally fine. That's
R-Truth. Perfect example.
That's a valid. Yeah, exactly. That's a valid.
Zack Ryder's another person.
Still here. This is what he says.
Yeah, but, it's a valid way to live out your own dream as a professional wrestler.
Yes.
R-Truth had this tweet that I keep
totally nothing back. Wrong. And if you can support that, you can support this as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean at the same time that doesn't mean that you have to approve of what Vince has to do.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
The thing is that the criticism, the question of what do we do now as fans of WWE is tricky because it's not on us. It's what we've been seeing from the John Oliver thing to the CM Punk thing to the Moxley thing, everything we've ever heard.
Oh, yes.
Is that ultimately it all boils down to Vince.
To one man. Yes.
Vince must and die.
No,
Vince.
The must reason die. That's such a difficult problem is that if you've read the financial report, like MDJ turned me on to reading financial reports every year now, but only WWE's. But one of the clauses there is that Vince McMahon is essential to the product.
Mm-hmm.
Like the way it's interpreted to the investors is that. The product cannot happen if
without
Vince
him?
If Vince is gone or Vince is absent or
but
Vince
that's not
is
true.
Dead. It's obviously not true. It's so not true. AEW is proof.
Yeah.
NXT is proof.
Yeah.
The weeks that Vince are absent is proof. But I guess us knowing that doesn't matter because the investors don't think so. The investors believe and accept a financial report that states that Vince McMahon is essential to the product, and if he dies, it'll be catastrophic to the business.
It's very funny because this take on the wrestling business is not that different from, say, the advertising business locally, which is very old school. Because very old school, you take it in, and without this shot caller in the center of everything, everything will collapse.
Right.
It's kind of like how, kunwari, in my field of work in radio, advertisers still look at ratings, even though it's such an outdated and archaic basehan or standard for excellence. People still look at that, so it's funny to me how a business that should be evolving, should be changing, is still very much in the control of old people who refuse to evolve. No, not just Vince,
okay,
but
sure.
The investors who control whatever.
Who control the 1%ers, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just very funny to me, very pervertedly fascinating as well. That it's still old people running the show.
I think if the solution is if they decide to... Obviously, he still wants that power, that creative power. If he loses interest, they will come out with some legal way to explain why it's okay that Vince is gone now. He's focusing on XFL and whatever. Triple H is a good successor. If they decide to do that...
He's a great successor.
If they decide to do that, I think they'll be fine. But they will not do that unless the dude dies.
Yep. Whoever these
gets part of a scandal.
Report, yeah.
As Moxley says, he's probably going to die in the chair.
Yeah, whoever these financial report bookers are,
they're not bookers. Financial report bookers. Financial reports are created after post.
It was a joke, Cabos.
You're a comedian. Yeah. You should get this also. I'm not sure you've actually.
That's why he jokes.
I know, but then this is not why we brought you onto the show, Chino. This is your second week. Let's
take it back. Let's take it back. So, okay. So, I guess at this point, the only resolution we can really come up with is if
Vince
we're
going to
continue. No, not that. Not just that. If you want to support WWE, you technically there should be nothing stopping you. Like, it should still be okay. If you want to go and watch just because of Becky Lynch, go. If you want to watch that one Nikki Cross segment and then
tune out.
No one's gonna stop you. No one's gonna blame you whatsoever.
If you still hang on to hope that Sami Zayn in 2019 can become a world champion, no one's gonna blame you also.
Yeah, sure. Unless your name is not Rafael Camus.
Yes. Anybody except Rafael Camus.
Yeah, basically.
Can I say one more thing about this?
Yeah.
They're courageous enough to shake things up every so often. Like, cause things make them panic. When the ratings go down and then reports are made about the ratings go down, they shake things up. The problem is they'll do this crazy wild card rule, and then the most annoying thing about it is that it works. The ratings then go up the next week. So it kind of validates them on Vince's Vinceness. So, you know,
it's a vicious cycle.
It's a cycle, and then people like us are, you know, paying monthly to them, and then, you know, we talk about it, make podcasts about it. Investors look at that and think, "Uy, galing talaga ni Vince, grabe, let's give more money." Price, the stock price goes up. It's the highest it's ever been this year.
Yes.
I mean, and it's the worst creative-wise it's ever been.
Yes.
But it's the highest it's ever been. So how is that going to be evidence for any change? The shakeup is going to be when the fans go away and bad press happens.
That's true.
And that when enough bad press happens that they then try the things we think are good.
Then I think
we also tune in because whenever they change it, even if it's bad. I mean, I'm not saying it's our fault. No, I'm just saying that's just the way it is.
That's very true.
Is this indicative of Stockholm Syndrome?
I think so.
In a way, yeah. It's like training for an abusive relationship. Yeah. It's a very dark joke to make.
I was going to go, yeah, that's pretty dark.
Yeah. But in going off of Mikey's point of bad press, I think the worst press that could happen is the Benoit thing from 2007. And
They survived that.
The net positive was
Yung, Vince's fault, diba?
Yeah. But the net positive was Yung concussion protocol.
Sure. Yes.
So, what will it take another Benoit? Because I hope not.
Okay, strike two, that's very, very dark.
No,
sir.
That's the thing. I don't want it to have to resort to that.
Suggesting it, even.
He wasn't suggesting it. He was just saying.
He was just asking whether he would take another Benoit level catastrophe.
Okay.
And then there'll be Benoit stands. Anyway, it will take somebody Vince sexually harassed. God forbid that there be no one. I hope there's no one, but somebody coming out and like putting a scandal on Vince's name. I think, you know, something like that will bad press on Vince and Vince alone will force him to step down, and then Triple H takes over, and then we're all happy. I mean, I'm not saying I hope he does something that people report, but I mean, what kind of catastrophe or bad press will make some shift like that happen?
You know, it's really funny. There's a JoJo reference here.
None of us really care for aside from Gamos.
Right.
Sorry, naughty boys. All right,
it's a naughty boys thing.
I know, right?
Hey, Dax is on it too. Brad
okay.
is on it too.
All right, it's enough about JoJo. Okay, revolution.
Let's go.
Okay. So yeah, let's close out this part of the podcast by talking about TakeOver 25. That is a big WWE show that is taking place this weekend. It is Sunday, Manila time, and it's got your usual five matches. So let's run them down and then talk about our predictions for the show. So let's start off with the North American Championship match between the Velveteen Dream defending against Tyler Breeze.
Oof.
Dream though, for sure.
Dream, yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if they're going to bring down Tyler Breeze for a stint, they could make the switch happen. And then draw this out as a feud.
I'd like for that to happen, sure.
Yeah, I'd like for that to happen, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a dream retention at this point. Next, you've got a singles match between Matt Riddle and Roderick Strong.
Bro.
I think this is for Matt Riddle.
Bro.
Are you just saying that because the song's stuck in your head?
No.
But
no.
Bro.
No.
Yeah, because he's a bro.
No, he's a bro. He's a bro.
He's the king of bros.
He's the original bro.
What's Strong doing now?
He's part of the era. And
that's it,
the
right?
Yeah.
Nothing since, no development.
He might
since.
Turn. They've been teasing a turn. So it might come to a head to take over 25 because all four members are actually in a match.
Right. Yeah.
For the first time in a while.
So Strong loses and then Cole gets pissed off with him even more. You know, probably. Something like that.
Last shot. Yeah. Good work.
Yeah. Next up, you've got a ladder match for the vacant NXT Tag Team titles. Oni Lorcan and Danny Burch versus the Forgotten Sons versus the Undisputed Era, the Red Dragon Team, and...
Street Profits.
The Street Profits,
I think this is finally Street Profits.
Yes, because...
Long time coming.
Their excursion to Evolve.
To Evolve.
That was actually... Okay, I watched, I think, two of the shows, and I am... really impressed by Montez Ford.
Yes.
No, he's amazing. Very athletic.
No, he's been very athletic, but this stint...
Same personality.
But this stint that they had with Evolve was so much fun. I love it.
Yeah, he's easily two-thirds of that team.
Okay, but so we're in agreement?
Yes.
Unanimous.
No, I just wish that the Street Profits got to defeat the Viking Raiders before they left.
I would have wanted to see that.
A definitive...
Just because...
Huge missed opportunity there.
Yeah, the Viking... Experience.
Viking Raiders. No, but they were the Viking Raider.
Raider Experience.
Can you just call them War Machine on the podcast?
Okay, War Machine.
The Raider Experience.
The Machine Experience.
Wait, machine. Bang machine yung
magparamdam? Machine yung magpaparamdam nun
ta. Oh, sorry. My bad.
Strike
so I didn't get why the Viking Raiders
Experience.
Raiders Experience Machine. had to fucking drop the titles without any contention.
I know, right? It's not like they're on Raw.
Yeah.
Doing shit.
Though. Yeah.
Sobrang labo nun. Okay, let's move to the NXT Women's Championship match between Shayna Baszler and Io Shirai.
It is Io's time.
Especially with Candice LeRae getting involved.
Yep.
She will be in Io's corner.
But I think Candice ain't gonna turn.
No.
But Candice steps in finally.
Yeah, to get rid of Jasmine Duke and Marina Shafir.
Yeah, I think after this, I'm more interested to see Io versus Candice.
Yeah, I want to see Candice. I need that. Deathmatch Candice.
I think it's still Bring Shayna. And then Candice is gonna
be
challenge
the one
next.
Ah, pwede, okay then, yeah. Or it'll be a triple threat.
No. I want Candice to have the one-on-one Shayna moment.
Pente. Maggie, any thoughts? No?
No. I'm tired of Shayna.
Okay.
Yeah, we're all tired of Shayna.
Actually, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Next, you've got Johnny Champion defending against Adam Cole, baby.
I think this is a retain.
Oh, yeah. Gargano.
Because the ballad of Johnny Gargano must continue.
Yeah. That's right.
And
especially since Tommaso Ciampa is still injured.
And you need Adam Cole to get pissed off for the Undisputed Era story to move.
Yep.
All right, there you go. Our predictions for TakeOver 25.
It's going to be a good one, but it's not going to be AEW good.
I wouldn't say that.
Yeah. I always have high hopes for
NXT. I know. I am an NXT apologist, but I am going to say, I don't think.
Eh, mas buo naman yung ano eh. Mas buo naman as a show yung AEW.
Yeah, this was all. Well, that's true. I was gonna say mas buo na show yung NXT.
NXT is always top heavy stuff.
Yeah, but do you think that this is potential 5-star Johnny 5-star? No,
sure. Why not?
Adam Cole? Yeah, why not?
We've seen it happen. So
I can buy it.
Yeah, who's to say it won't happen?
Adam Cole is a worker, don't forget.
No. I'm not going to deny it. I was an Adam Cole apologist before he was in the Bullet Club. He is, by God, the best young talent that WWE has. Better than Johnny Gargano, even, I would say. So, there. But my opinion still stands.
All right, if you have any thoughts you want to send our way about TakeOver 25, you can always hit us up at the SGP Podcast, at Sheena Supersized, at Rose War, at Caveman Camus, at _Stancy, at Mikey Lorin as well for Mikey if you want to hit him up for his takes on Moxley and AEW.
Yay.
And now the moment you've probably been waiting for, or not, it is the review for PWR Revolution X.
Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte, and you're with Stan, Roe, and Raph on the SGP Podcast. Woo!
It's a very special review for a PWR show because, one, it's Revolution X, and two, we've got two different perspectives on the review because you've got Chino Liao, Andre Bigodala, our regular, who rarely misses shows. On the other end of the table, you've got Mikey Lorin, who hasn't really been to a PWR show since, what, the MCS days?
Yes, MCS days.
Do you remember the last show you've been to?
Yes, I do remember the last show I've been to.
Was it?
It's the one where Yusuf cashes in the fake money. Oh, boy.
That was the very first Revolution X.
Oh, then
wasn't
I watched
that
the first
Path of Gold. No, that was the first
Revolution X. This is perfect, then.
Yeah.
This is perfect.
I guess
this is the one
on JDL. Right?
Yes.
What
a great palate cleanser.
Right. That's true, though.
So Mikey comes in 4 Revolution X's later, an entire regime change after, and a new financial account and BIR account and SEC account later.
Thankfully.
Yeah.
He comes in after 2 failed out-of-town shows.
Yes, pretty much, yeah. So it's a very different PWR than what you'd last seen.
Failed? Why? What happened, bud?
If we launch into that now, we'll go as
this
long
is going
as
to be a 12-hour podcast.
We will go as long as Revolution X, sir.
Oh,
we will direct you to an episode in which you will find out everything you need to know.
But yeah. Haven't you listened to that shit?
It's my favorite episode. I like it more than mine. That's my favorite.
Okay, so let's ask you about your expectations heading into RevoX. Let's start with Mikey, because it's your first show in years. So what were your expectations heading into the 5th RevoX?
I'll be honest, my expectations were, not that they were low, but I just didn't have any. I just wanted to watch wrestling again live. The last wrestling show that I watched was WWE in 2016.
Sure. With me.
With you. I was sitting next to you.
I was there, yeah.
Yeah, we were all there.
We were all there.
Yeah, and then life happens, and I was like, yeah, I get to watch live wrestling again, and it's in a theater. It's very interesting. And also, honestly, I wanted to see how different it was. So I knew it was different. I knew there were some compelling characters, but parang I don't know what the execution was like. So I wanted, my expectation for execution was not like, it's a let's see, very, very forgiving kind of fan of 4 years ago kind of expectation.
All right, how about Chino? As someone who's been to pretty much every show.
Except Path of Gold.
Which you missed,
by the way. Which I missed, which I regret to this day. Which is why I held this show to the same expectation as Path of Gold.
Okay. Because
people...
Standing room then.
Standing room then, yes, which I failed to remember. Because that's why I ended up sitting on the floor for the whole 5 hours. But besides that, I actually held the show to the same level of Path of Gold this year. Because this is the next available main show, quote-unquote, right? It isn't the PWR Live, which are still special. I mean, but for it to be the technically the WrestleMania of PWR, the season ender of PWR, you have to hold it to some high levels of expectation there. And also, honestly, I wanted to see Seidai perform live. It's like,
okay,
just like, if you're gonna call yourself a WrestleMania, you might as well just throw the main band song in there, right?
It was repeated many times, sir.
Which one? The song? Yeah, but not live, not like performed.
Do you know how long it takes to set up a drum set?
I mean, yeah, sure.
You can't blame him for his expectations.
Okay. Yeah, it's the WrestleMania of the Philippines.
You shame me.
There were actually people playing guitars. So
yes. Yeah. So yeah,
it's fair for him to expect that. Yeah. Yeah. Guitar playing people in CD. It's the same thing. Yeah.
Close enough.
I'm just joking. Joking.
Okay, were the expectations met? Because with Mikey, he said that he didn't really have any expectations, so I'm going to save that for the end. Better for you, Chino, were they met?
Yes and no.
Okay.
The matches that I expected to be good were good. The length, however, which we'll get to a little further down the road, killed the whole thing for me, I feel.
The whole thing?
It cut it down a few pegs, if you will.
So yeah, let's dive into the show then, and we're going to start with a bunch of video packages.
Yes. Which I was not there for.
The Super P video packages? Like, with this, here's what they do in the show?
Yeah. So I actually haven't seen those video packages. Okay. It's like our version of the MTRCB PSAs, right. I guess.
They're great.
Actually, it's our version of the New Japan PSAs that they show.
We didn't know that there were PSAs in New Japan, Carlos. We have not been.
No, but they show them before the show starts.
Not on the streaming.
Yes, they do.
We didn't catch it.
Yeah.
The first, you know, that first 30 minutes that before, it's there.
Okay. Okay, you NJPW elitists.
Still don't know what New Japan is.
So anyway. So the Super BPSAs. What do you think of that? Because I think that was the first time we've dropped those.
They were great, and I think they set my expectations. Because the very interesting thing was, like, rule number 6 was no video longer than 15 seconds. if you want to show your friends PWR action, invite them to the next show.
Mm-hmm.
Which says to me... The message to me is we want to be careful about how we're presented to the public. We want to control what we show to the most people, which also says to me that there might be some stuff here that isn't particularly good and we don't want to show that.
No, it's right. Not. I'm speaking as a homer, obviously, but right. That's that. Nobody actually ever thought of that when they say don't video.
Right.
Because... you don't have to video more than less than 15 seconds mm-hmm. to catch something like that. Yeah. So that's never an issue. It's never a factor.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of, I'm going to explain the thinking here behind the marketing, but it's really more of, we would rather these interested people get converted
right.
into buys. Not that we're hiding anything.
Yeah, I don't disagree. That's just the impression lang to, I guess, cynical old me.
Yes, yes. Okay, very cynical old
you. And back to cynical old you, one of the main reasons that was employed was because of my old input as head young boy. Because you've ever seen somebody put up an iPad, like, just right there in front?
Right.
And then and it's there. It kills the vibe.
Yeah that's
no,
true.
For sure.
And
for
so it's
sure.
like it's like 15 seconds. I want this spot. Phones out. Okay, cool. Drop it.
What is sinunod ko yun, ha?
Sinunod mo. Okay, fine.
Like 16 seconds. Like, oh shit.
Yes. Good for you.
Good. Yeah. Thank you. But that's the thing. You don't want somebody holding their phone up the whole show. Enjoy the show.
Right. That's true.
Like that.
Yeah.
All right, so that's what it is. After that PSA, we start with the over-the-top battle royal, which features 10 wrestlers from PWR, including a returning Zayden Trudeau. So this was your first time seeing Zayden, right?
Yes.
What did you think of him? Because he was the guy who got the loudest pop from the crowd.
Yeah.
And that's because he's been gone for a while.
Yeah, he comes back, and what are my impressions? It's like, wow, people really like him. He must have been a big figure from a few months ago or something. And also, oh, his trunks look like CM Punk's trunks, but with a maple leaf. I guess he's
that
good.
That is the peg, sir.
Yeah, yeah. And, oh, he's good. Oh, he's really good. Oh, and this is when it starts, when I'm realizing that, oh, my expectations were not fair. This was 4 years ago. The expectation 4 years ago was, oh, it's a Filipino group. Let's be nice to them. They're doing this wrestling thing. They're young.
It's still a wrestling thing.
And we're still a community. We need to support it. Let's highlight the strengths.
Okay, Mikey.
But now, 5 years later, it's like, wait, tutong, wait, legit. This is wrestling.
Wait. Did you just say legit?
Unironically?
Unironically.
On this yes. podcast?
About a wrestling company?
Nani?
Does someone else own that word?
Well, it's sir. Part of somebody else's branding.
Tell me about Batanes. No?
I mean, I wouldn't know because like, as far as I'm concerned, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers haven't happened. So
wait, the Exodus ang nangyari.
Oh, right.
The Exodus ang nangyari, sir. Marami na nakaalis.
Hot shots. Let's focus.
Inside jokes here.
Let's focus. Let's bring it back. Let's not disparage the other participants as well because you also had Redrick Mahaba, Jay Serra, Cali Nueva, Capitan Tutan, the Revo Ranger, Bolt. Who else was there?
Bunch of guys. Gatilio.
Gatilio. The debut.
So you mentioned that Zayden Trudeau you saw that he was good, but did you also get that idea that, okay, you got that assumption that, okay, this is legit from everyone else in that match as well, being that this was the first match you saw after a long time?
Well, you could tell that there were varying degrees of, like, expertise.
Sure.
I don't even know the words I'm using. I'm sorry, doers. But, there are varying degrees of expertise in the ring. And some are carrying others, but they all kind of belong there.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
They all had their moments, I'd say. Like, Redrick Mahaba had his funny moments. Yeah. Zayden and Cali with their dueling 450s.
Right.
That was also was pretty cool.
Yeah, Brad Cruz was also there. I forgot to mention.
Brad Cruz was also there.
Revo Ranger, did pretty well for himself that night. I'm gonna put myself over Camus style a little bit. Like I know the performer who portrays him is a person I know in real life, like outside wrestling. And he used to be part of our theater workshops when he was in high school, etc. So I called out his real name like an idiot.
Why would you do that?
You fucking because here's what I'm looking at him. It's like immediately the thought bubble is like, do I say, "Oi, Ranger"? It felt dumber than saying, "Oi, his name."
Redacted.
So then I immediately say his name, and then as I say it, it's like, "Oh my god,
you are fucked."
Wait, what is worse? Doing what Mikey did to Revo Ranger, or seeing someone you recognize at the oblation run and calling out to them?
the performer's name.
Oblation run, the man. Who did this? The guy is naked.
No, cause
but it's a one-time thing.
Yeah, the operation guy, but the frat guys have hoods on their heads and they're running with their dongs out. Right. And if for whatever reason you recognize
his name.
Yeah.
No, that's worse.
Yeah, how
that's
did you
worse
because
I wasn't like, ooh, I didn't shout his name out loud. I just called his attention, and then he comes to me like, and I'm like, oh my god, wrestling nga pala to. This is not real life. But this is when we were in quote unquote real life lining up outside.
But then
these characters come out. Camus comes out. In character, John Sebastian comes out, and he comes out in a mask. And I'm like, "Uy, I want to tell him I'm here. I'm supporting him."
Jesus Christ, you did that before the show? What
a
heel!
I have stuff to say about that, but anyway.
Heel.
But yeah, so I made that.
But
mistake.
You have
anyway,
stuff to say about the okay? Yeah,
Rebel
yeah,
Ranger yeah. did well for himself. Is all I wanted to say.
Okay. Any other thoughts on the Battle Royal on Cali Nueva breaking
on
through?
Gap's win.
It was such
on
a
Gap's
good.
Win.
No, it was such a good way to start the show.
Yeah.
Opening matches always set the pace, and this did a perfect job with it.
Okay.
I got the angle. Like, I got the story that was happening. Because, I mean, I didn't care for the whole dick pic thing.
Yeah.
But then I was like, okay. Oh, that's what's happening. Oh, I see. And then he deletes the thing, and it was a pop. It was like, he deletes it. Whoa, yay. It's like, wow, people really care about this.
About the dick
pics. People care about this. Oh. About dick pics.
Which all started because of Camus, by the way.
That doesn't sound surprising. No, it started because Cap took the dick pics.
No, Camus, you didn't delete
Stop
the dick pics.
Stop blaming the victim, Camus. Why are you victim shaming? God.
Yeah, stop being a it has toxic a happy masculine
ending.
Person.
It has a happy ending, guys.
You were supposed to delete it. That was your one job.
Yeah. And then we're supposed to not leave the phone where Kalin never could find it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's
Backstage
move on to.
Backstage is supposed to be a safe space.
Let's move on to the show. What was the first match on the card?
Robin versus Jeff.
Yeah, the new metal Robin.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen Robin in the MCF today.
No. I was familiar
with her character.
Yeah, okay. So this new metal Robin was interesting. The fact that she. The music video or the OBB quote unquote of
it's
Robin
CD.
That comes out yeah. It was interesting because you never expected her to change her music and I'm going to throw this trope out there yes. and say na except for later in the day lahat ng nagde-debut na bagong music na nanalo.
Ah,
right?
See, I didn't know that.
For some reason,
important Chino stat.
Right,
except for later in the day.
Martivo won with his new EDM.
Hey, that's been around for a while, though.
No, it was one show ago.
That's one show ago.
The EDM remix happened when he won the championship.
The All Out World title, right? Yeah. And now, new metal Robin walks out to Sadie. And fucking. Kicks Jemmerlin's ass, and I love it.
What do you think about Robin and Jemmerlin, Mikey? Like as characters, because you've never seen these two women before, and they
you've
come
never
out...
seen the women's division.
Yeah, yeah. There was no women's division when you Crystal, last watched.
Maybe. No. Oh yeah, he did not put in Crystal.
Yeah, the last like see Scarlett was there. That was the last person I remember.
Redacted.
Why is it redacted?
Why is it?
Scarlett didn't steal money. Comes.
Oh, okay, fine. Then we can talk about that.
Yusuf was the one who stole money. That's what I heard in the podcast. I'm basing it on a podcast I heard, right?
From these same people, by the way.
Yeah, I didn't see it. I just heard.
I wasn't there. Like, I also heard it in the same podcast.
Kaya tayo nakukurno sa book sale nito eh.
Sorry.
Okay, sorry. Moving on. So this
I
is
don't
your first
know anything for a fact. Anyway.
This is the first exposure to the women's division of PWR. How do you feel about this outing between Robin and Jemmerlin?
Okay, putting in context like that, I don't know all of a sudden because I know that there's intergender stuff from the
yes.
beginning.
Yes.
Or not from the beginning, but
from when Crystal made her formal debut.
Yeah.
It's been intergender, but this is now there is a women's division.
Yeah, so but now I didn't know that. Was that announced?
No,
not so
formally.
It's just like
it's
but
really
there, it's a thing that's happening.
It's a thing, that's happening because there are other women wrestlers.
Now that I know it's when I didn't know the thing that was happening, it felt like I watched it. It seemed like fun. A lot of character stuff happening. It seems to be a character kind of match where that's what you pay attention to
yes.
more than like
the
action.
Yeah, wasn't the cleanest match, I would say. It wasn't the cleanest match, but it was very story driven.
Yeah. I mean, I don't say it wasn't dismissively. Wrestling is hard. Sorry. Anyway,
yes.
But the Robin as angry metal girl to Jemmerlin's, like the broad strokes were clear. Like Jemmerlin's the good one, and she's like baby facey and cute, and like you want to
yes.
root for her.
Wholesome.
But I also was watching it, and it's like puro submission yung ginagawa niya. And I'm sorry. Ah, okay. That's part of her shtick. That's her thing where she does submissions. But I also didn't get it. Like, but that probably has more to do with me not knowing her character or not knowing her work.
Yeah.
But what I meant to say was she won, right? Did she win?
No, Robin won.
Sorry. Robin. Sorry. But
But you can't forget that Robin won because that is what stuck with you.
Yeah, that I did forget. And I also, what I was paying attention to was like, what's happening with the characters here? And it looked like, okay, Angry Robin, looks like she just became Angry Robin recently. She needs to win this, and mm-hmm. she did. And Jemmerlin was parang, her function was to serve Robin, let Robin do her thing, is the impression I got. But as for the match, the first match was like, uy, legit wrestling to. You could then see that this was not as clean as that.
Okay.
Like that became clearer.
Any other thoughts?
But you guys are amazing. Sorry.
Yeah, dun sa mga doers dyan. Sorry.
Sorry, yeah. I don't know what I'm saying.
Any other thoughts on Robin and Gemberlin before we go to the next one?
Yeah, no, I agree with everything Mikey said. It wasn't by the cleanest match, but it was easily one of the most emotionally motivated emotionally driven.
Can I just say that that's part of the thing that I've noticed for the whole show also is that I'm someone who has no idea what's happening. I watch occasional YouTube videos. I want to know why characters do what they do.
Okay.
And Gemmerlin, the joke is that her name is Gemmerlin, and that I'm getting the broad strokes of her character. Yeah. But ultimately, hindi ko gets. Parang ano sa kanya yung kakalaban niya si Robin at tatalunin siya. Parang I didn't understand that.
So you didn't get the why, is that what you're saying?
I didn't get the why.
Okay.
And that's also so because
you weren't at the last
show.
Okay.
Yes.
So yeah, let's move on to the next one. It was a 6-man match between the network featuring the debuting Sam Baltazar taking the place of Chino City Ginto. Baguio City Bad Boy.
Bad Boy.
Yeah. Alongside James Idol Martinez and AB3. And then on the end game, you've got the Apocalypse, Super Vintendo, and Jan Evander, PWD.
Let it be said first, just before I let you two get into it, that this is Chino's, that was Chino's call to bring in Sam Baltazar. It is Chino Ginto's call.
Okay.
Just so that it is
I'm not sure
clear.
If you're trying to be a network apologist or if you're trying to gaslight Chino Ginto.
I'm making it clear that this is on Chino.
Chino the performer?
The performer.
The character?
No, the performer, because he came out, diba?
Yeah.
The promo. Yeah. For some people, the promo is just like, I'm introducing Sam Baltazar as my replacement.
Yep.
But that was an executive call by Chino Ginto.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
As a writer, because there was a memo that followed.
Yeah, so the endgame wins, and now AB3 is part of the endgame.
Yeah.
So you guys' thoughts on the story, on the match?
Yeah, I didn't get the whole Sam Baltazar thing. I'm sorry. I don't see anything in Baguio about him. I don't know.
His tights had the thing.
Yeah. It's not very...
It's like that meme. How does it look? Strawberry taho.
What constitutes as pagka Baguio?
No, technically, anybody can be from Baguio.
That's true.
What makes him from Baguio? If anybody
he's legitimately from Baguio.
I mean, yeah, but what about him says Baguio?
Okay, so when Jeron Teng gets introduced in the PBS from New Manila, which is the real, by the way, from New Manila, Jeron Teng, yes. Do you look at him and go, did he come on New Manila?
Oh, hindi. Tagal New Manila ako eh.
So, kailangan lahat ng taga New Manila kamukha mo.
Are you saying that you have to justify his Baguio-ness?
I have to justify his gimmick.
Why?
He's a networker!
Why can't it be just that he is from Baguio? Why does it have to be a cartoon representation of him from Baguio?
No, I'm not saying it has to be a cartoon.
That's what you're implying, though.
No, I agree with Gino, because it's wrestling. I think...
Okay.
So, I mean, sorry, yeah, sorry, wrestlers. But this is... it's wrestling. There are conventions of a guy being introduced from a thing being defined as being from that thing.
It's so sorry that he doesn't look like Iggy Iggy.
No, it's no, it's not. It's not that he has to look a certain way.
I'm not saying that.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think that's what Gino's saying.
Yeah.
It's that he was introduced as that, and then his name is based on that.
Yeah.
Right? From the City of Pines is the first thing. Yes. Like, uy, Baguio. From Baguio City.
But he is from Baguio City.
But so
did you
what?
Expect a stoner getting sagada?
No.
So what?
It's so just what, a so what?
What? What about, what does it add to the wrestler? What?
Right.
It's pride.
No, see, that's the thing I'm going to bring up also. Okay, because the pride thing is like the obvious thing, right? Okay. Like Sandata is like his whole shtick.
At the very start,
we'll get to that later. But what I mean to say is, I'm getting Gino's point. All I'm saying is, I support his questions here. Not criticism. I'm not upset at it.
Yeah.
But I'm like,
this is a review after all.
Yes. Know, but I'm like, oh, City of Pines. I was like, he's just the guy from Baguio.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe it's like the high flyer thing, because I don't know.
Maybe.
But it made me think about that. I was like,
bit of a reach, but yeah, okay. I get where you're coming from. Okay. Any other thoughts on?
I like the Ghost Fighter tribute that the network did coming out.
Pretty
right?
Sure that was Slam
it
Dunk.
It was Slam Dunk.
Sorry,
sir.
I don't know my anime.
It was one.
Shut up! I don't know my anime.
I wish I didn't.
It was a familiar anime.
Sorry.
High tension is
slammed up. Yeah, there we go. So, basta nasa GMA siya, yung point ko.
One last thing about that that I was going to say was that I wish I didn't see Chino Ginto first. I wish he just didn't do that. They could have accomplished what they needed to accomplish without seeing him first because of the story of his match later on. So, if removed from that, okay, Chino Ginto, replacement, I have a match later. Okay, sure. Anyway, but so parang, sana hindi nila ginawa yun. In retrospect, more on that later.
Okay. Next match on the card was.
Wait, how do you feel about the match?
Oh, right.
You haven't talked about any of the wrestling or the endgame at this point.
It's funny how when stakes are this high, like logically, does it make sense for me to bring out a new guy? Like, parang NBA finals, tapos gagawin mong starter yung bangko. Mm. Or gagawin mo yung starter yung guy na hindi mo ginagamit, di ba?
Andre Iguodala, pare.
No, I mean, yeah, Andre Iguodala is an established swing player, right? But that's like saying na NBA Finals, tapos...
Quinn Cook?
Maybe Quinn Cook. Like, is it a calculated risk? Would you risk it over...
Deron Liu?
Di ba? Parang, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't... Strategically, it doesn't make sense for me.
Right. Especially when you're using the biggest guy on your team... To the end game.
Yes.
That's what you're trying to say.
You're essentially going to lose Kevin Durant at the end of this, right?
So you're saying that Kevin Durant equals AB3?
Why not? They're both tall and deceptively athletic.
Okay, how do you feel about the end game though? Like they're showing in this match.
I like seeing Apocalypse wrestle again. He hasn't wrestled in a while.
Oh really?
Yeah, he's
why?
Because it's a three-person team, and usually it's a tag team, so he becomes the third menacing member outside. I can't really remember when the last time I've seen him wrestle was.
I can't answer that question either.
It's so hard for me to remember Badass Apocalypse, All Out War Champion Apocalypse. I want to see that guy, you know, who put Van Sinsic through tables.
Eto, Mikey, let me ask you this question. Sure. What do you think of Jan Evander PWD? Because he is a smart Henry scholar. And I don't think we've talked about that with you on the podcast.
Yeah, that's cool. What do I think of him? I had to put the pieces together as I watched. Because he was wearing a lab coat.
Yeah.
Or a doctor's... And I was like, is he wearing a white trench coat that just looks like... And then, ito yung PWD guy.
Yeah. The pro wrestling doctor.
Yeah, I think he's pretty good. I mean, I enjoyed the way he... did his work, his movement, his... I'm so conscious about the words I'm using about in-ring stuff, so bear with me. But I enjoyed what he did in the ring. I just remember thinking from the very beginning when I heard about his gimmick, na Nico gets. So that just translated again. It's like, I'm a galing siya, pero Nico gets. Like PWD doctor, I guess I need to ask for your input here. He's PWD, so he's like doctor of wrestling.
Yeah, like a
like
doctor.
Super expert wrestler.
He's a wrestling
PhD
doctor.
Level.
Like he's very cerebral. Yes, PhD level.
PhD basically. Level. Yes. Okay, so I didn't see that in the match, but I suppose that wasn't because the purpose the match was serving. It was serving a different purpose.
Yeah.
So it didn't. But as a guy who hasn't been there, who only heard about him on the internet and. What I think of him is that he's a good wrestler. I just don't get the character so much.
Now, I'm going to keep asking Mikey questions here because like there's something that I'm not sure if you'll get. So like, did you get the reference that Super Nintendo was going for when he did the budots at the end?
No. I know what the budot is. What the budots is.
Yeah.
You don't get the parallelism between him and Bong Revealia aesthetically.
No.
Yun lang, basically.
That's fine. Yeah. The crowd gets it. Yeah. It's the sensibility of the crowd.
Okay. Yeah. Any other thoughts before we get to All Out Warla?
Yeah, I want to see what happens to the end game now that AB3 is part of their stable. A lot of these stables are popping up at the PWR.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we get that was an Alahi match down the road.
Or we just get Gang Wars.
Yeah, maybe.
I wanted to know what it meant. Like, what does it mean that he's part of Endgame? Like, he can't hang out? You can't sit at the stable anymore?
EE becomes the fourth member, and, like, when they have matches, he has to be...
That's what that means.
I do believe so.
So, hindi na siguro siya pwedeng mag-downline.
It's like when Dan O'Brien joined the Wyatt family.
Yes.
Yeah, he can't yes anymore.
Yeah, so I didn't get that either. That's what I'm saying.
Okay,
parang,
fine.
I mean, you know, that didn't make any sense to me either. Sorry. But I mean, it's great when he turned. Parang it's serving the wrestling thing of what gets the pop and whatever. But in terms of what makes sense here, I'm not sure. I wasn't sure about that. But okay. I mean, again, maybe that's not what you're going for. But that's what I'll say. That's my criticism of it. Parang, oh, okay, ano nga yun, kung nandun siya, tulungan silang matalo. You know? Parang, what, oh, what are the stakes?
Yeah, okay. Good point.
Magpatalo siya.
I didn't see it that way.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up, you have All Out Warla, which is the Martivo twist on the All Out War match to defend his title against Dax Xaviera.
I love Martivo.
I love Martivo. he hasn't had the title long, but he really made it his. With
the purple fur,
yes. The boa, yeah. Wrapped around the title with the sparkles
and then his flag bearer.
Yeah,
that was tremendous. Yeah.
That flag bearer is a young boy, mind you.
Okay,
or girl. I don't know how he identifies. Being careful there.
Camus. Went too far, man.
yeah,
dude.
Okay, so what is it about Martivo that you love, Mikey? You know, since first time wearing mapanad si Martivo.
Yeah. I love that it became clear what he stood for.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not just a gay dude who is a wrestler,
mm-hmm.
and who's performing his gayness the way the old WWE used to be so terrible at doing. Or like, you know, like 90s Goldust.
Or early 2000s Rico.
Yeah, exactly. He's a guy. He's a guy and he's gay, but he not only is he gay, he's also standing for everybody who's like him. So it makes you root for him. The flag was important. Symbolically, he brings out the flag. He's saying, this is what I stand for. Screw you all. This is important to me. And this is what I'm fighting for. Champion ako nito. And then, so it makes everybody who supports that cause root for him. And then he's fun to watch, enjoyable to watch. He doesn't rely on Tagalog gay comedy stereotypes.
Yes.
Right? I mean, or the stereotypes you see on Philippine TV of, or stereotypes, period. He's a dude who is gay, but this is what I stand for and this is how I do it.
I mean, this match is just proof of how much of a dude he is. It is an
stereotypical
all-out
dude, yeah.
Right? It's an all-out war match.
Yeah.
Dax Xaviera came out there with the intention to hurt and Martivo came out there with a feather.
Yeah.
You know, so you
that was hilarious.
Which was funny, that popped but the disparity in strategy again. You keep hitting each other with all these baking sheets and fucking plastic buckets.
Oral cancer.
I didn't want to use the brand name. So.
Yeah. It was branded.
Okay, but so the oral can.
I do have a bone to pick with the match was when he kissed other guy.
Yeah, Dax.
Sorry,
Dax.
I have to respect Dax him. Apologies, Dax. But yeah, when he kissed Dax, I was like, oh, I feel like that's a thing. I get it. It's a wrestling. Redrick Mahaba does it. Yeah,
Redrick Mahaba did it earlier in the show.
He did it. But given what Martivo proclaimed that he stood for, I think that should have been a thing to be sensitive about. Because associated with what he stood for are also all of these things about assault. Also all of these, parang, you know, and it's such a Philippine thing where homophobia is a very Filipino thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's not just a world thing or a man thing, but it's a very Pinoy thing, eh? Diba? Yeah. So, you don't want to give more ammo to homophobes. And I think, parang there is nothing, parang the pop that got from that was not worth the compromise in what you stand for. Parang kasi, it's the assault is worth the pop. Kasi you'll cheer, eh? You'll cheer. Hinulikan siya. But it shouldn't have come from Martivo because what he stands for is gay rights.
Yeah.
What he stands for is equality, right? And men, fragile men raise up such a stink about equality. It's like, oh, kami rin naman na assault. And that's a thing. People are annoying about that, loud about that. So that's a thing that I think Martivo, given that he is in a position of representation, Martivo's character at least should consider in his matches in the future.
Chino, any other takes on
I agree with what Mikey said about the whole spot. The only thing I just have a problem with was the whole. It worked out in the end for Martivo, but the whole, like, how he turned it. It's like he didn't take the whole All Out War match seriously enough. Going out there with a feather and tying Dax up 50 Shades style again. It speaks to his character, maybe. But to uphold the sort of tradition of All Out War, right? to defend the title, which turns out to be his title, right? to own, to hold. I guess it worked out. It resolved itself in the end.
Do you have a favorite weapon?
favorite weapon
from the match.
From the match?
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but it has to be the feather.
It has to be the feather. That's what you remember.
Yeah, that's what you, that's what stays with you. I tried thinking of another weapon. It's as bad strategically as it is to use a feather
You can get a submission out of that.
Yeah,
though.
Right?
Alright. Let's move on to the next match. It's an interpromotional match between Crystal and the Lion City Hit Girl, Alexis Lee.
Yeah.
Right, I know you guys have thoughts on Alexis Lee since it's her first PWR appearance as well.
I will say that I love how we got the Philippine leg of this rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
They've wrestled each other a few times outside of the country.
Oh,
as far
I didn't
as
know
right.
that. Okay,
this is not their first.
This
yeah.
is like their
rodeo.
So that's the story.
Yeah.
This is like their third time
at each other. Yeah.
Wrestling each other. They did it in Malaysia. They did it in Singapore, maybe. All these other places, right? So I like how we're getting this leg here in this WrestleMania type show, Revel X. I do, however, have problems with Alexis Lee as a character.
Okay.
Because a lot of things are starting to send mixed signals to me. Like walking out with face paint and then suddenly walking out to Icona Pop. It's just, it doesn't. Aesthetically, aesthetically it does not connect. I feel like the music just totally disrupts who she is.
So you didn't love it?
Yeah, no, I did not at all.
I didn't get it. Like angry wrestler, like Robin made it work.
Yes.
But when she came out, she's just angry and yelling at people.
Yes.
And then when Crystal was coming out, she was just mocking the entrance. I was like, well, why are you so angry? Why? So it's like, was she saying that she hates that she's the queen? She hates that we say she's the queen. She hates that she's the queen of Philippine wrestling. She hates the Philippines. I don't get it. So
yeah, there's really not a lot for you to hold on to.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Alexis Lee as a character, it's like not really a lot that makes you hate her. It's just it makes you confused, if anything.
Okay, how about the match?
I was excited for a Crystal match because I've heard very good things about it. I feel that this was not like I feel that she has had better matches that I haven't seen.
Yes. No, definitely she has had better matches. This match I had high hopes for because it was touted to be the Philippine leg. However, I don't know if it's because I saw that last show or something, but I have been very sensitive to refereeing now. It's just after the last show of another company. I've been very sensitive to refereeing.
Which company? Now.
So you Monday, Wednesday, Friday, the show.
I know.
No. Anyway, the referee getting in the way of people and the referee allowing himself to be pushed around.
Yeah.
Without standing his ground, that was weird for me, man. It's just.
Speaking of the referees, what do you think of the referees dressing up as Carlos Padilla?
That was a good spot.
Yeah,
that was
a nice touch.
It made everything more formal. I don't know if that was their intent. Was that their intent? Or were you just making fun of them?
I actually don't know. I mean, like, when I first saw them in their white polos and the black bow ties, I quickly thought of the family alcohol commercial.
I like how they made it special. That's what
it's apparently a big show theme now.
Yeah.
All right,
for them,
I got that.
So, for Path of Gold, this one
probably
yes. Vendetta, maybe
moving forward. But all of them have the outfit.
Yeah, okay. That's good because when I saw them backstage, I couldn't help but really just make the trip. So hindi lang kayo papamilya sports pa.
Oh, it's a nice touch. Like very nostalgic also. It's the 90s WWF referee.
It made it special as well, I'm going to say.
All right, let's close out the first half with the Tag Team Championship, which was defended in a Bantay Salakay match. It was the YOLO Twins defending against the Naughty Boys and the new champions at the end of the match, the Kakai Bros. So the Kakai
Let's
Bros...
talk about the match first and then the shenanigans.
Okay, I have thoughts about the match.
Okay.
The stipulation for this match reminds me a lot of the six-man match in Homefront, if I'm not mistaken.
Six to Survive.
Yes,
at Vendetta.
Yeah, yes. Vendetta ba yun?
Yeah.
Okay. So that same concept happens here, but with a different name. So I don't know why they couldn't have used the name, or why they couldn't have just used a different concept.
What was the old name?
six to survive. So it was basically like Elimination Chamber. You had two guys in the ring, right. And then you had four guys tied to the ring post.
It's a different match altogether.
And then every 3 minutes or so, someone gets uncuffed.
So yeah, and then I get how they were trying to pull off a War Games type of scenario.
Without the second ring.
And the cage.
Yeah.
I get that. Like, I get that. But the whole... The budget, but the parallel is starting to intersect almost for me. That it confuses the stipulation a little bit.
Okay,
because you know? That's for you as someone who's already seen.
Yes, the other Six matches. Survive, yes. Yes.
But for you, Mikey, because you have no idea what Six to Survive is. Yeah. You came in basically blank slate for all six guys. What did you think of that stipulation?
No, I thought it was Elimination Chamber without the chamber. I mean that's what they're going for.
Mm-hmm.
That's a common thing that I think that PWR and smaller shows without a giant budget have to do. They have to signal what you're going for, and then the audience builds it in their heads. I think ginagawa nila.
Okay. Sorry, are you saying this was an example of intertextuality?
You know what? Yes, but I think the hype about parang the intertextuality thing.
Alam mo, itong episode ito, ang dami na natin kaaway.
Okay. How do we all end up doing this?
Yeah. Why did we agree to having Mikey on the show?
Are we going to air this episode?
Okay,
I'm so sorry. Man.
Okay, non-doer. So, how do you guys feel about the wrestling in this match?
Oh, the wrestling was great. Evan Carlo...
Oh god, are we going to talk about that spot? That's what you'll remember.
That's what you'll remember, because that's what sticks out to you.
How bad was it from the outside? Because I wasn't there, I didn't see it.
I don't know where he was, but from where I was seated right on the concrete.
Yeah.
And as he jumped out, you could hear him say, "Oh fuck."
Yeah.
It was audible.
Yeah.
He shouted, "Oh fuck," jumped, and then the next thing I felt was the floor
boom
thudding really hard. So hard that on concrete, I felt it from all the way towards the entrance, left side, stage left entrance. So medyo nakakatakot talaga eh. Because he didn't get up for a while. Yeah. And then one of the twins did an acai moonsault from the turnbuckle just to save the spot, I guess. But even then, it just... I am glad that the...
He's the man that is Evan Carlo is alive
better,
and well.
Is not injured, I think.
Not seriously injured.
There we go. And these dive spots are just.
Yeah, it was. I was in the adjacent corner of the spot, and I'm saying spot. Like I know what I'm saying. Anyway, so, the spot, and then he does. I can corroborate this. It was like you hear, and he does the spot. Oh fuck! And then you hear a. And it's like, oh, and there was a woman beside me who was recording video, and she was like, "Ay, oh my god, tang ina." She turns around and like so. When I saw the spot, I couldn't see if the head landed, but it sounded like it. But her reacting to that, na mas malapit siya. Parang the image that formed in my head was sumabog ulo niya, patay na siya. I was like, oh my god!
And I actually thought he broke his neck. No,
all of them crowded around it. I was like, oh my god! And there was a silence. I was like, oh shit, is the show over? I was like, oh my god. And now, because everything you think about wrestling, you don't care, nah. You just want this guy to not be dead. Right? And then he's trying to save the spot, and I'm thinking, don't save the spot, nah. Just tell us he's okay. You don't care. You don't care. Time out. Time first. Right? As Robin would say, can you just tell us he's okay so we can feel okay about watching this thing again? Because he just almost died. And then you can see that, apparently he's okay. And then you think, then I'm thinking, teka, baka he's concussed. But yun kung concussed ka, dapat nasa back. And they're letting him wrestle.
Is this what being a parent does?
No, this is a wrestling human fan thing. Who grew up loving Hell in a Cell and then Benoit dying. You know? Hell in a Cell.
Even Owen Hart?
No, because Owen Hart wasn't wrestling. That was
his stunt.
This is a fan who loved the violence and then saw, oh shit, this violence is not good.
Yeah.
This kind of violence.
Yeah, so then I watch that and it's like, oh, just let us know he's okay, please. Because I can't continue watching this, thinking about the story. Pakay ko sa story, lahat kayo actors, alam ko. Fake to. Sorry, joke lang. Fictional. Just let us know he's okay.
Oh.
And then when it seemed like, it seemed like he's okay. Ah, he's not concussed, I think.
I think the takeaway you're trying to say is that you care about the actual human beings.
Yes.
The performers.
Yeah,
that's clear.
I mean, by the time he got the one-handed fucking spine buster in.
Yeah.
Was that not indication enough that he was?
Yeah, he was okay na.
Okay.
And he wasn't wobbly or anything.
Yeah. He wasn't wobbly. That freaked me out.
Yeah, I feel the same way, man. Having known the person behind Evan Carlo personally, prank to see him do that.
But he's okay, guys.
And to see the video of how far the guys that were supposed to catch him were from where he landed, it was just...
So, okay, let's talk about the Kakai Bros because they were the big winners here. They got their 1th tag team championship.
They got Gemmerlin on their side.
Yeah, they got Gemmerlin on their side. They have a new entrance theme with a rapper that they got from Tondo, an actual rapper from Tondo to perform.
So on character, by the
way. Yes.
Very absolutely.
And then, if all of that weren't enough, Marky goes ahead and proposes to his real life girlfriend
shoot
in the middle
propose.
Of the
proposal.
Yeah. So what do you think of the Kakai Bros through all of their shenanigans in the match?
I think Kakai Bros were wrestled and performed and entered and exited as the characters they were trying to push forward. Like all the criticism kind of that I had about others, like I can't say about Kakai Bros because like gets ko kung bakit why I want to root for them. And then they do that crazy shit with the song. Sorry, classism revealed. But the song.
Are you saying forget hip hop, judge na?
Forget Pinoy hip hop.
Well, I rooted for it, so that cancels it out, right?
Sure. Okay, fine.
It's like oh, Astig funny gets, and you know they did it. So I was like, I wanted to root for them. I wanted them to win. Well, no, that. No, sige. Yes, I wanted them to win, and then they did. Yeah. It was like, and then the proposal happened. So that was another moment. Now you don't have to think about this as a show anymore. None of that crap matters. Like, oh my god, it's a real person, and I'm a sap for that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's hard to judge a proposal.
Yeah,
that's sabihin namin, di ba? Oh, dapat may mga flying spots to, di ba? Oh. Dapat may cash in to.
What purpose does this serve?
Oh, di ba?
Follow through, but doesn't
matter. Promo, kasi
promo, part of promo. It's a sincere expression of love.
Yeah, I can. I wasn't alone. There were people crying around.
Nah, I was
almost moved to tears. I was
very moved by the whole thing.
Yeah, I was also pretty touched. And then I had to remember my own girlfriend telling me, no, that is never going to happen.
No way, sir. I think the question moving forward is, kailan magiging official na sila ni Kemmerlin?
Well, you don't know that. Come.
That's the only thing.
That was a thing that happened, right?
Yeah. Get the whole Roman Reigns spear moment.
Yeah, very cute.
Gemmerlin finally chooses Kendrick.
I didn't care much for the striking Gemmerlin. Actually, no, I didn't care for what he said was, you're such an ingrate, and then he strikes her. And I'm like, huh? Why? They're just... Parang, he was a 3D person, full person, who wants the affection of this girl. And then he becomes a 2D person again when he says, you're ungrateful, okay. I'll punch you. You know?
Well, he is a heel.
I guess that's one of the things that I have to say about it.
So I wasn't there when it happened. I just heard that it happened, right? Did it get heat? Did that spot get heat?
Not as much as you'd think. Not as much
because
as you'd
we've
think.
Seen it before.
Yeah,
Gemmerlin
has a habit of getting hit a lot.
Now,
dudes, right?
And she just wrestled the full wrestling match.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because
so,
when you hit her, she was just an intern.
Yes.
By the time you get to here, it's like, oh, she can take a hit.
Can I say that I think that has to do also why there was no heat? The fact that it became a wrestling thing again.
When they
were real people that you care about, it's like, oh, he's trying to get Gemmerlin, but this doesn't feel right. Yun yung emotions na necessary na sa event na yun eh. And then she says, not really. And then he goes, you ingrate. So, huh? And then, wrestling punch. Wrestling fall on the wrestling ring. There was a real moment that was replaced this is a wrestling moment I have seen before.
But what makes that different from, say, Macho Man accidentally striking Elizabeth?
Elizabeth was an NPC.
Yeah, that's true. And also, you believe that they're real people. Like, he didn't say... Like, what is the context of him striking Elizabeth again? Accidentally?
Yeah, accidentally.
Right? This is with the Hogan thing. When
the mega powers are imploding. Yeah.
That was different because it was to serve the breakup of the mega powers. And you know that they're kind of together in real life. And then, you know. But this one was real moment. I want to be the girl. And then big long wrestling voice. You ingrate. Punch. You know, and these are signals we're all familiar with. We know that. We know what this looks like. And there's a reaction pa rin. It's like, ay, kupa, sino to kayo babae? But it wasn't like, oh my god, what a moment.
Yeah, okay.
Like, there were later with real, with wrestling things, but na-invest ka.
Okay. We're gonna end the first half here because this is where the first half of the show also ended. So we'll take a legit break from recording, and we'll also give you a quick break here on the podcast if sponsors are available in your area.
Mag-edit pa si Stan ng mga ininsulto namin tao.
Pare, tanda mo ba nung high school pa? Alang yan, nung na-busted ka, ang pangit mong umiyak pala. Basta't solid ang samahan at swabe-swabe ang inuman. Usapan natin gumagaan, usapang kompanyero light yan.
Malalim ang pinagsamahan, magaan ang usapan. Basta may kompanyero light brandy. Drink responsibly.
And we're back. Right, let's now get to the second half of Revolution X, starting off with JDL versus Mike Madrigal, with the stipulation that if JDL lost, he would have had to leave PWR. This match also included shenanigans, which involved Bombay Suarez. Making his return. I think we haven't seen him in PWR for about a year or over a year.
Little over a year.
What did you think, Mikey? Because these are familiar characters, at least, JDL and Bombay.
Can I preface this a little bit? During the break of the show, one performer of a masked wrestler who is a friend spoke to me, and he's like, "Yeah, what, your match went so well, yeah, galing." And he's like, "Dude, the first half of the show was like the character stuff, but the second half of the show is like the wrestling stuff." So that informed my expectation for the second half. So just laying that out there since we're talking about expectations.
And thank you, masked wrestler.
Yes. So what did I think of the match? Well, I thought it was great in the sense that I understood what was happening. I felt for what was happening. I was like, oh, I don't want JDL to be his last match. I just started watching again. I wanted to stick around. And he's so much better than he was back then.
And he was already good back then.
I noticed that yung side part niya, nawala, naging middle part ulit yung hair niya towards the middle of the match. And I have to say props to Mike Madrigal because I believed him. Like, this asshole is such an asshole that he shouldn't win. As in, kasi my visceral thought was, kupal talaga siya eh. So dapat hindi ma-reward ng mga kupal. I mean, the video package in the beginning, there was that also. So I was informed na talaga on the characters and the notes that they needed to hit in the match. So they hit the notes. They did it. And then the ending felt a bit, I don't know, my memory might be failing me, but the ending felt a little rushed. But I understood what was happening. I knew that Bombay was gonna do something. He needed to do something. He won't show up there and not do something. And then when he wins, it felt good. It was like, oh yay, I get to watch him. Like, all the notes that were I expected to hit were hit.
Yeah, so I feel like this match could have taken more time in telling the story. Mm. Like, I feel like it was still a good match. I'm not saying that it wasn't. It was still a good match. But there were just, sometimes you have to take the long way around to tell the story almost, and I feel like it could have done that better. I feel like if they just took their time a little bit more, it would have been a lot more special to me. You would really root for JDL, you would really boo for Mike Madrigal. Mm. Not that that wasn't already happening, but you want to get the most out of it, right? So that's what I felt.
Can I add another thing about?
Yeah, go.
So one of the things I really appreciated about Madrigal was his in-ring talking shit.
Yeah.
Like, his in-ring talking shit was just like the most believable, realistic thing. Like, oh no, tangan mo, lingo dito, gago. It was just, you believed it. It fit with everything that was happening, and it wasn't like cookie cutter wrestling trash talk. Like, alam mo yung aesthetic comments. Like, alam mo yung sa WWE 2K games pag final 3 na lang yung Royal Rumble and they stop
and then they point at the sign. Sign
like, this is my time now and
it's me
no it's my time and it becomes Elmer Fudd and Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck. It's a very wrestling thing. Even in the highest levels of wrestling, they do that. In PWR, it's a smaller venue. The experience is so visceral. It's nice to see a real person doing that, because you did see some wrestlers doing generic wrestling trash talk. But then Madrigal comes in, and it's like, man, this guy's an asshole. So I appreciated that. That was great.
All right. Any other thoughts on JDL versus Mike Madrigal, or do we get to the next one?
Let's move on to the gym selfie daddies.
that is the name.
There's stuff to talk about. That
debuting
is
GSD, gym selfie daddies.
April 2019 to May 2019.
Hey, at least it lasted longer than Scaramucci.
Oh.
What? Okay, so gym selfie daddies versus MSG. Right, your thoughts on the match, the turn, and the subsequent events.
See, this is what I say, mean when I say, except for up to this point, lahat na may debuting music na nanalo. Because I could totally tell na lumabas sila with their 80s workout montage na mananalo sila. I was like, oh, this gimmick is so over.
Yeah. Man, really?
This gimmick is so over.
Because we've been hearing that people didn't like the gym selfie daddies.
No, I liked it for the sheer irony they put into their whole gimmick. That, oh, we work out and we're like the mega powers, mm-hmm. but we're Filipino, you know, we both work out and take selfies. So we're the gym selfie daddies. And at first, hindi ko na gets yung name. Like, why is it such a generic name? But over time, you saw how in the span of a month, less than a month, you saw how it evolved into this thing that has potential to be an actual team.
Yeah. So are you saying you got invested into
it? I got so worked by this match, man. Seriously.
Of all the matches in this card, this was the one I was the most invested in also.
because
the performance, two of them are my friends.
Okay.
So, but aside from that, I knew Warren and Panzer were there in my first Revolution X.
Yep.
I know who they are.
Main Max was also there.
Main Max was also there. Sandata was also there. Sandata was also there.
I was also there.
You were also there, but not as you, or whoever that guy was in Revo X. You were there.
PWR General Manager, Mr. C.
Yes, that's right. That's actually right. So, kilala ko kayo, or sila. And so, I was excited about this match to see what was going to happen. Also, this whole thing, like the attacks of Sandata and Mr. C online against Ken Warren was the most hilarious, compelling thing leading up to this show. Because I remember Ken Warren as the social media guy.
Yeah.
And then I could see he's still that guy. And then, teka lang, oo nga, no? Hindi talaga siya legit na social media guy. Oh no, he's being exposed. And then I could see that Sandata and Mr. C were not
and
stopping. And Main Max. I guess I should follow him. Sorry, Max. But yeah, they were exposing him online. It was the most gimmick exposure, the most blatant gimmick exposure in recent memory. So I was like, oh man, I am rooting for these guys because they are right. Ken Warren is a fucking poser. He's pretending. He should lose. I am rooting for astigdong MSG na to. And this is not thinking of you guys as my friends. I messaged one of you. I think it was you. I was like, dude, you're really hard. And I was like, yeah, it's okay. He's self-aware. is what one of you said. I'm not going to say nilang who. But so I was like, oh, okay. So I guess this is really part of the narrative.
Yeah.
So it made sense to me. And I invested in the fact that, oh, man, you guys are the real deal. Those two are fakers.
Sikamos yung message, by the way.
Sikamos yung message.
Let's protect kayfabe, goddammit. Sikamos yung message,
yeah. Sorry, he looked at me.
Yeah, yes. Right? Exactly. Yes. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Why are you guys laughing?
Sorry.
Chino.
So, no, I didn't see the turn. I really did not see the turn. Because I saw the gimmick.
Did anyone?
I saw the gimmick. I loved the gimmick. I thought it was going to go somewhere.
I actually thought it had legs.
It had legs to stand on. Yeah. It wasn't a stupid gimmick. It wasn't a thing that just happened out of nowhere.
It wasn't a one-off.
Yeah, right?
I saw how invested they were in being the gym selfie daddies, I kind of felt sad that it was going to be the only time they were
ever going to do it.
Yeah,
because sayang yung hours na ginugol dun sa video, na may shoot pa sila, nagbumili pa sila ng tights, nagpagawa sila ng bagong song, and we're never gonna see any of that.
And sayang lang yung yung video.
Yeah.
Ang lakas ng reverb sa theater. Kasi hindi ko may puro vowels.
I did write that point down. Yeah. Yung impression, Ken Warren's impression of Macho Man or whoever that was, parang I didn't get anything.
I think it might be a production fault. Parang sayang din. Sayang yung wala. Parang sana may subtitles. I was thinking. It's
all gargled.
Yeah. Did you not like the Hogan moments?
That was so funny.
The hulking up.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was talking about. The whole gimmick of the gym selfie daddies is no more because of Chris Spencer.
Very clearly, both of you feel betrayed.
Yes.
I feel betrayed.
It's Chino. Because he's two people.
Is this a thing that happens all the time?
Yes.
Oh, dude.
So, Chino, very clearly.
That's not
bad. Victim shaming gamers.
The betrayal is real. No, okay, by two people. Chino, I really meant I also feel betrayed here. Okay. I'm not allowed to talk about it.
But
in all reality, how do you feel about this betrayal as a fan of... Because I know you are a Chris Spencer fan.
Yes, I am a Chris Spencer fan. I want... As much as I feel betrayed, I also haven't seen him as a heel. We've seen JDL.
JDL
was a heel before he was a heel. Right? Yes. And JDL is supposed to be the...
Perpetual babyface.
Yeah, the face of PWR. And we've seen him do things we never expected him to see. I always thought Chris Spencer was too good looking to be a heel. Like, he's too clean-cut, he's too clean-cut to be a heel. Almost, he looks like a matinee idol.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So now that he's joined the dark side, I'm interested to see how his character evolves. Like, what does he go to? What does he do in the ring? Now I'm starting to get conscious with my ring words
here. Yeah, that's the thread here, you know? As non-doers.
No, Mikey, you were implying that you didn't feel betrayed. Because when Kamis is like, oh, you both feel betrayed, you were like, oh, me parang hindi. So, like, what are your thoughts on that?
No, first, I don't mean to be like, I know better than other wrestling fans. I mean, I understood why people would feel betrayed. I'm just saying I didn't, because it made sense to me to turn on Ken Warren.
I know some people who feel the same way.
I mean, no disrespect. This is even a credit to his character. Parang it seems like he's really leaning into whatever it is that I am averse to.
Uh-huh.
He's really leaning into it. So it's like, okay, that means it's to some extent it's working. I just have a different perspective. I enjoyed... So I didn't feel betrayed. Because him turning is like, yeah, I would turn on him. I would join Mr. C also. I would like to see... And I'm Chris Spencer. I remember him from 5 years ago. He was the guy that when you watch the show, I was like, oh, this is the wrestler. And then the others are trying to be wrestlers. I mean, broad strokes. And obviously not everybody. But, you know, Chris Spencer was the guy. And then I think he had a run with the title for a while.
He became
the guy na. So now it's like, okay, act three or different act nine in his career. Let's see what else he'll do. And probably he wants more, so he wants to try something else. He had a line, right? That's the guarantee.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, okay, there's something here that he wants to accomplish na. Yes, I would totally turn Ken Warren. Obviously, everyone knew that the Jim Selfie Daddies was a joke, and they were doing the joke fully, and it was fun. I wish the joke lasted longer.
Yes.
But at some point, you knew what that was going to happen. They were going to be like, okay, enough of this. Back to my career. So the turn was like, I guess he wanted it sooner. Like, you know, can I just say there's one moment I really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
When Sandata was, had Warren in a headlock or something,
yeah.
And he was saying... You say something. You're saying like social media, di ka marunong magano.
Yeah, yeah.
Something, some brutal thing like that. And Main Max is in the corner. I was like, non personal, guys. I popped, man. That was like, these are real people. I love it.
Also, I want to give props to Max who just lived up to the silliness of it all. Like,
sumakay siya
dun sa joke na parang, you want to be silly? I can be silly too. I'm not serious, quiet guy. Can have fun too.
When the GSD, the Jim Selfie guys, were entering, they're doing their rockers, like silly music, whatever thing. There were like mga titas surrounding music. Ayun ang crush ko. And they were like, that's really the
where
kind
were
of,
you seated?
In the corner.
Yeah, he was in the corner.
Jeez. And then I was watching Main Max and Sandata. Main Max looks like bored, like, okay, can we wrestle now? That's what it read to me. But Sandata was literally like, he was doing what I would do, which is why I popped. Because he was just looking like his hands up, like, what the hell is these guys doing? I mean, that's not what he was saying, but his hands look like, this is so stupid. We're wrestlers here. Have some respect. So I was like, don't tawa ako. I was like, astig. This is so fun. And they're believable. So that's what I enjoyed about the match.
What'd you think about the choir? Okay. So I'm pretty proud of the choir. Okay. Right? I have to put it over.
Okay, no, I don't think I can answer this fully because when your music came out, the theater started leaking. Like, I was getting rained on, and I was like, what the shit is happening right now? Special effect ba to? And then it's like, tuloy, and then people around is like, and then you can see it is leaking from the ceiling.
Oh, crap.
Which is a disservice. It doesn't, I'm not saying the venue is a bad, for those listening who have never seen this, Spotlight is a fantastic venue.
Yes, no, it is.
It's theater in the round, you should go. This was a technical mistake, and the rains were really hard. But that's, I saw I missed the choir. I saw, I was like, uy, it's a choir after na lang. But yeah. The moment didn't register with me. So, Chino, what do you think?
Yeah, it's become a norm to chant the names of MSG during the theme.
To the music.
To the music, right? So, it almost like, it was a nod almost to the marks who started doing it. This is how you're supposed to do it.
Okay. So you're calling them marks?
Sorry, mga doers.
No, my God.
the people who started doing it, the fans who started doing it.
So. Okay, one last bit before we move on to the PHX Championship match. You were saying something online, Mikey, about the MSG gimmick, about how you had something that you wanted to get out and you didn't want to blow your load before the podcast.
Baka magalit sa akin ng MSG. So if you're listening, sorry. No, I enjoy the match, right?
Yeah.
But my questions that I was left with was, that's my guarantee, right? And then handshake, pose, big moment. But I now had to think about it more. I was like, what's the guarantee? Trust the process is the signal sent to me in the screen.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a reference to a basketball thing.
Sure.
And I put connecting these dots. But, and Mr. C used to be the GM. He used to be a good guy. Casey Montero punched him or something like that. And then now he's a bad guy. I don't know. The broad strokes of it was that now, it seems like Mr. C guarantees success of some kind. I also see that you're entitled Chinoy thing. You tried to bribe the referee. I also see that you are more, not, I'm saying you, Mr. C is more, is living out his assholeness. Parang pinaninindigan niya na asshole siya. Wala na siyang pake to be a nice guy. And he's genuinely, like, he's clever. So he will step on a stupid crowd. There was a guy who started to try to start a chant. And Mr. C goes, wala sa mabay. Which is, for a Pinoy guy, it's like, sakit nun eh. Parang sakit mapahiya ng ganun eh, di ba? So I was like, oh man, it's galing, solid. But then in the end, it's like, what's the guarantee? What is Panzer buying into? Oh wait, he's joining them. Or they, teka lang, si Sandata, naalala ko, nationalist guy pala siya before. Sandata literally means flag.
No, weapon.
Weapon, really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Wow, that validates your whole opinion.
Whoops.
Wow, sir.
No, but his Filipino-ness was important to him once upon a time.
Mm-hmm.
Ibagsak Duterte was an iconic thing in his wrist. Tape at some show. Tapos biglang kumamba sa in-check. So, seriously, that's the thing. Signal yun.
I can say it.
Does this matter? So, I'm not saying I concluded. I'm just saying, wait lang, does it matter? Why does he side with Mr. C? I know that Stan and the performer are friends, but why in this wrestling world, why is he siding with Mr. C again? Is it because he's frustrated that he's not winning as much as he should? Because I kind of know that Sandata doesn't win as often as I think he should.
No, this is like, this calls back to a few shows ago.
Okay.
Which you weren't at. Na parang, why are you laughing
at him? Because he doesn't go to shows. That's the problem.
That's my gimmick.
Yeah. That's the problem. That's why he's asking all these questions.
Yeah.
And this is what you're here for, Chino.
Because a few shows ago, Chris Panzer actually went to Mr. C in a video package, asking for help to get the, if I'm not mistaken, PHX title back,
right?
And Mr. C costs him the title. So now he was on after Mr. C this entire time. I'm not particularly sure Ken Warren fits into the whole picture.
We just fucked with him at Path of Gold and at the April show.
Okay, so see, I was...
And Ken Warren comes to Chris Panzer's aid. Yeah, okay. History.
Okay, so...
That's why you don't miss shows. Yo.
Exactly. So anyway, that fills in the gaps almost as to why.
Like, basically the story of the match heading in was it was MSG's indictment on the OGs of PWR who failed to evolve.
Yes.
Okay. Failed to evolve in what way?
Basically what you said about Ken Warren, he was the same guy that you saw in 2015.
Okay, well, so there's more to it.
Yeah, so yeah, it was the same, whereas MSG is composed of guys who have literally evolved because nagbago na, di ba? We changed with the times, all that stuff. And parang why haven't you...
Kumang pwede si Sandato sa Chinese, eh. Hindi siya national.
Also, I explained the dissonance between a mainlander and a Chinoy. I also did that at previous shows. So, like, you're
that's
the one...
That's true. Chino, what the hell?
That's right. Actually true.
You're a Chinese, the racist.
You Chinoy person, I would have some experience about that. I understand.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, just more questions here. So, si Main Max... He joined...
Main Max is the first MSG talent.
Yes. Okay.
So, that's where the MSG movement began. With Main
returning Max... had Mr. C in his corner when he faced Rafi Mabayashi for the PWL.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, so Main Max was the vehicle for the movement.
Okay.
And then Sandata gets involved by in a, oh, Main Max sides with Mr. C. He gets a title shot at the first, the fastest possible opportunity. I want to buy in.
Okay.
Sandata buys in. And then the heel turn happens on the Naughty Boys because, you know, fuck the Naughty Boys.
Yeah.
And then...
I just want to say I'm going to accept all embarrassment for me thinking it meant flag... I apologize, dude. Yeah. Okay, whatever. You're right. Okay, so anyway. Okay, so that makes sense to me. What doesn't so much is, like, the how of it. Because it's a big deal that Panzer wanted to join it. Eh. So yeah. I guess that's the thing that has to be... There's time for that to be revealed.
Right.
For that to be made clear. I get that.
Right.
My comment about this whole thing is that I don't... I mean, I get that you're saying that they're not going to show because they're not going to play. Sure. But I feel like it's also PWR's job to fill in the space. Not Mark Henry's job, not whatever website that covers its job. Because they'll do it. I should have read the preview. I didn't. But parang, so what if I didn't read the preview? I know it's my website, sorry. Along with you guys. But, it should be PWR's job to make that clear. Because that's the only narrative vehicle you have. The live shows are the only ones you have. But your social media game is so strong. Super strong, but it's strong to serve the purpose of marketing. But once you get there, you'll have confused fans who are like, you know, eh, huh? Bakit yung ginawa yun? Chinoy, boo, Chinese, Duterte. You know, they'll think the wrong things that don't help PWR later on. They don't help. They take away from heat, they take away from narrative, they take away from everything. But they enjoy the show, they pay the ticket. I just think PWR needs... If it's clear that PWR wants to continue this as a vehicle for a narrative, and it's the only one. They say, don't record videos longer than 15 seconds. Talagang yun lang yung narrative nila. You gotta help out the people who then join for the first time or come back after a while.
Due diligence as a...
Yeah, a little bit. But no, in case you missed it sort of thing. Like yes, a short, absolutely. Just a short thing.
That's
that
fair.
Fills in the gap.
So you need... No, this has been brought up before already by other people.
Yep.
It's totally.
It's a valid concern.
Yeah, and I can see why, because I have missed shows in the past, and I've raised these exact same points in other reviews. Yeah. There are things that you miss, it's hard to pick up on.
That's true.
Without any
background.
Yeah. I say that that's why you miss. That's why you shouldn't miss shows. But at the same time, I can't disagree
that
this is a valid point that you bring up.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Next.
Next up, you've got the three-way for the Philippine Excellence Championship. John Sebastian, Vlad Sincic, and Chino Ginto, who ends up winning the title.
Mikey, you have some feelings about this match, right?
Yeah, I have a lot of feelings. I'm a feelings guy. Okay, yes, I do have a lot of feelings about this match. First off, I want to say that the broad strokes of the match, Chino Ginto returns, conquering, you know, he gives up, redemption.
Yeah.
That was delivered. And I bought into that in the end. I do think there was so much stuff, though, that weighed it down.
Yes.
Parang it would have been... Parang obviously, that's what you want to accomplish. Okay. That feeling of, oh my God, Chino, he's back! Yes! That's the feeling. But there's things that weighed it down. First thing, Chino appears early... Or he appears to be a part of an angle that is not part of his angle.
Yeah.
So it's like why? So I realize in the end what's happening. I forgot that was a story, but I figured it out. Like I didn't see him until here. Para when he comes out, it's like oh my God, this is what I want to see. I want to see Chino Ginto reclaim what he never lost. I mean, it's such a classic wrestling thing, and everybody buys into it, even if you've seen it before. So it was not like full fledged. Para may konting dirt there, because it was hampered by the other angle. That needed, I get it. It needed to serve something. AB3 needed to say, "Cause la remoto Chino, But, you know, just the mere live performance aspect of sana hindi ko siya nakita.
Yeah.
Na lang. Para after, maalala ko, teka lang, ganit pala sa EB3 sa kanya. Oy, then I'd be interested. You know, that's what I'm thinking. So that's the first thing. I saw him already. So him seeing him again, he didn't get the pop I think he deserved. Also because we were tired. At that point, the crowd was tired. Right? That was it was a long show and it was running longer than you expected because it was advertised as being 2 to 6 p.m. At that point, you could tell na, oh, it's running long. It's gonna go. This is like 5 o'clock at this point. Imposibleng short 15-minute match, no angles, short 15-minute match, end at 6. Imposible. So alam na ng fan, and it's like, oh my god. You don't want them to say, hurry up. You don't want to be an asshole and like, bilisan nyo naman, guys. But you're also knowing na, shit, ang haba na nito, medyo pagod na ako. Okay, Chino's summing up. I saw him na rin kanina. Sige. You're rooting for him, but you don't bother to invest the energy in going, yay! And then he comes out. Then John Sebastian comes out.
So Mikey just made a face.
Yeah, don't say that. That's why I made the face, because no one has to see it.
You have to remember, the medium is oral.
Okay, so John Sebastian comes out. And I remember this guy as John Sebastian. I remember this guy. Also, I remember him being an effective heel in that I didn't like him.
Mm-hmm.
Last time I saw him, he was aligned with classical Brian Leo. And then he took over that stable. He took over, and then he became like some sort of lead bad guy for a while. And then now he's running with his PHX title. Also, I saw him before the show with Camus selling shirts and cracking jokes. So I saw him. I was like, okay, he's the Philippine wrestling lord and savior, right? So I'm like, okay, that informs what I'm supposed to think of this guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So like the PWD wrestler guy is like, ah, okay, sobrang expert. And like the Baguio guy, that was the question that Chino had. But this guy's like the Philippine wrestling lord and savior. And then he comes out and he's very deliberate about his walang pake look. Like, I don't give a crap. I'm galing and I'm entitled.
I am above you all.
I'm above you all. He also looks different than I saw him last. A little more...
muscle.
A little more I don't care about how I look.
Mm-hmm.
Look than he used to.
Mm-hmm.
Or than the last time I saw him. So, yun yung impression ko na entitled, galing, whatever. He comes out, people are kind of booing him, but they also kind of like him. But he's the champion. He's the guy that Chino Ginto needs to defeat. Vlad Sincic is compelling, but I don't know him, and that's okay. I don't need to know him right now, but he's a compelling character. He's in this match, whatever. But John Sebastian comes out, and the interesting thing that happens is early in the match, Vlad punches somebody, and he makes a sound. Eh! And Pinoy's being Pinoy's. Took that sound and took over the mother freaking match. Like throughout, there'd just be frogs going, parang umulan sa garden, tapos hindi tumitigil.
Typical Pinoy shit, yeah.
Yeah, and they're popping themselves and whatever. And I'm not gonna be the bitter like. No, let's focus on the match, guys. It was just pagod na yung crowd. They have a right to make that stupid sound, but it was taking away from the match. John Sebastian, being the performer that he is, instinctively takes over. And he would make the sound himself. Nyeh! So then now we like him. Everybody starts liking John Sebastian. And now the focus of the emotional focus is, tayo na talaga tong John Sebastian, ano kaya gagawin niyang next? And he would wisecrack throughout everything he'd do. And he'd do them well, but he would wisecrack and I would root for him because I laughed it. Meanwhile, I forget about Chino Ginto. Towards the end of the match, Chino kind of takes over, momentum builds, John shuts his mouth. Parang it reads as, tumahimik ka nga, halika na, seryoso na tayo, upakan na kita. And then John stops, nung inuupakan na siya. But, I'm conflicted na. Kasi parang, last tip si John eh, stig siya. And I know that, you know, whatever I know of him, I kind of like him. But I now don't hate him. But I accept that De Chino needs to. So nag-conflict na yung feelings ko. Hindi ko na alam kung ano yung mararamdaman ko. And then you could see na, you can see the wrestling shift. The wrestling fan innate knowledge na, you can't express it unless you're a wrestler. But you can tell na, ito na yung part na si Chino is gonna like take the momentum. He's gonna get cut off, but he's gonna come back. And then he has to kind of win. And then it's either he will win or he will lose. That's the emotional draw. You can see it happening. And thankfully, it builds to it. And then he wins. And then there's a pop. And then that's it. It was parang aw, oh, parang you can see the signal they were showing was this is a moment.
Mm-hmm.
But what instead happens was you just accept that it's a moment. You know you love Gino. You know you do. You know you're happy that he won. So this is the moment. And it was a hell of a spot. It was a hell of a curb stomp that looked great. Gold and it was like, sorry.
It is a curb stomp, but he calls it Gold Digger.
Sorry. Gold Digger. I have to respect that. And then he does the Gold Digger. And then he pins him. One. People count. One, two, three. Yay! And it was like 80%. It was a moment that got 80% that should have gotten 120.
Yes.
And I think, and everything I'm saying is, I think that's the reason why. The reason it didn't get the full heat it should have gotten was, you know, there were conflicting objectives happening in the match. For different reasons, Pinoy's being Pinoy's, whatever being whatever. John Sebastian is an experienced performer. It was instinctive. He wasn't gonna take over. I could tell that he wasn't being selfish. You know, it was just a performer site. Ito nangyari sa live crowd. I need to get their attention again.
Improv.
Yeah. Pero the thing is, the arc of the improv conflicted with the arc of the match.
Okay.
So ultimately, when it came time to shut up with your improv and everything, let's go back to the arc of the match, it didn't land the way I felt it should.
Chino, any thoughts?
He said it in as best a way as anybody can.
This is why we don't get Mikey often. It's great.
Also, madami na tayong kaaway.
I want to say that I complimented him as much as I said what I said.
No, just, sure.
We have enough enemies. I just, you know.
Oh, hey.
In
the time that we.
You don't even see you enough to have enough enemies.
That's also true.
That's true. In which case, Johnson. No, but yeah, that's true. Because I was genuinely happy for Chino. I spoke to him after the show. I was like, what a moment for you. But I just remember thinking.
Sayang, parang kulang. Okay.
You deserve the bigger moment, is what I was thinking for him.
All right, now let's finish off the show with the main event, which was the 2 out of 3 falls match between Ralph Imabayashi and the new champion, Cuatro.
Who wants to start?
Okay.
This is a lot. Okay, but let's start first at Ralph Imabayashi's remix entrance theme.
Yeah, I like the montages that they both walk out to, not just Ralph's, but even... I didn't get the homage Ralph was going for. Was there like an anime?
That's Neon Evangelion.
Okay, see, I don't do my anime.
clearly!
Not a weeb. Yeah. Not a weeb.
Clearly not part of the...
I'm not part of the Philippine weeb revolution. But I did appreciate yung kay Cuatro and his workout montage, that whole thing that he does.
Yeah.
Ralph, even Ralph's, their journey as wrestlers and as characters was very expertly summarized in these montages. You can see the training that Ralph does with the YOLO twins. Mm. You can see how Cuatro invests himself in the match. And you can see how both of them worked up to this moment. And it was such a good moment because they often show how they both faced each other the first time around and how good a match that was.
You were there for that, right?
Yes, I was there for that.
Okay, just... So you were there for that. I just need to make sure because you have basis for the expectations of the audience.
Yes.
Because you got very close to convincing, like in the first matchup, Cuatro almost won. He was so close, and that was electric. And that was like, when was that? That was earlier this year, right?
That was Homefront.
That was last year. Because I remember that pop when everyone thought he won.
Yes.
And that was electric.
Yes. I felt like the finish of this match wasn't even close to that first pop. Even if it was a fake...
A fake out.
It was a swerve, essentially, right? And that had something to do with just the sheer length of this whole match.
Yung parang it went. Anyway, okay, was the match long for you?
Yes. And I understand it's a 2 out of 3 falls, and these things tend to take time. Essentially, you're wrestling 3 matches in the span of 1 match. I get that. But at the same time, you can actually feel as an audience member na bumibitaw na yung crowd while as the match is going on. And big spots would happen in the match like Ralph and Quattro are want to do. They're big performers, right? But you can also feel that once the big spots happen, napapagod na yung crowd. So they have a harder time to try and put the crowd back up to the level that they need to reach in order to close the show properly. It had a moment. Kat Quattro is now your PWR champion. But unfortunately, there were just some things in the whole match that took away from that moment. The length is one thing. The things that they tried to do to live up to that moment is another. Like the questionable use of waterboarding.
Oh my god.
Okay, do you want to get into that?
Well, I was gonna.
That was a good time.
Okay, the waterboarding thing, in retrospect, was now confusing. Kasi it seemed like a wrong signal to send. Parang tingin ko wrong choice yon.
Yes.
And rather than, it didn't accomplish. I think they had a different thing in mind with what they wanted to accomplish with it.
Yes.
And it didn't do that.
Yes.
In fact, it probably did the opposite.
It missed the mark completely.
It not only it missed the mark. It sent the wrong signal. Yeah. It not only didn't send the right signal. It sent the completely wrong signal. That the idea is that at that point in the match, I guess we'll talk about the rest of the match now. But at this point in the match, Quattro's trying to steer Ralph up to fight with him again,
yes,
so he can beat him now. Like it's obviously in Quattro's favor now. He's gonna. This is you. You don't take away my moment. I have to beat you.
Yes.
Wake the hell up. So for him to waterboard him, that's not a wake up thing to do. That's I am murdering you.
Yes,
you should drown.
I'm simulating drowning.
So my thing is
I'm interrogating you.
So is he trying to murder him? He's murdering him. And I think, why does he want to murder? He just wants to win. And so at that point, my context was, I'm not saying you're wrong. I think there's validity to what you're saying about checked out in the audience. But I wasn't checked out.
Okay.
I was invested in this one. I was excited to see Ralph's character evolve.
Okay.
It was compelling stuff when he beat Red and he said,
yes,
I don't want to win this anymore.
Okay.
And I was like, oh my God, that means the more he wins, the more the crazier he gets. Now I want to see him win because I want him to lose his shit.
I also noticed that a lot of people weren't checked out. I mean, I don't know, maybe your section was a little checked out, maybe you were a little checked out, but I still saw a lot of people engaging with the match.
Yeah, same here from where I was standing when I caught it. But I did also notice in shift, like when the waterboarding thing happened,
yeah,
people just booed.
Oh yeah, that was a boo. It was a clear boo moment.
So I'm gonna camo style put myself over again, because I was like, I was rooting for Ralph, not because I like Ralph, but I wanted to see him lose his mind and win again.
Okay,
this was the one that he was supposed to lose. Everybody knows he's supposed to lose this big one. The signals are there. Biggest show of the year. Quattro's rise. The last show was named after his move or something.
It was named after him.
Or him.
Okay. No, his move. His move. Sorry.
See, I was right about that.
Sorry, I'm caught up with the current promotions for his stuff.
Right. Putting yourself over again, I see. Anyway, but I wanted Ralph to win, so I was cheering for Ralph. And it might have seemed like I was a cool fan in the audience, because everybody's booing him, they wanted Quattro to win. There's a really loud section for Quattro, and I was next to them. And I was saying, boo, go Ralph! And then when he did it, it was like, I was right. I was like, oh, vindication. Guys, mali yung ginagawa niya, is what I shouted. Mali yan! Mali yan!
That was you.
It was bad.
There's nothing good about waterboarding.
And then Ralph tells the YOLO twins to leave. So it's
Pare
double turn. Oh my God!
The wrestling
fan feeling of I was right.
Yeah.
You know that feeling of it in prediction go, they're doing it, yes! And then they didn't do it. But so that was an off moment in what otherwise was, I think, a tremendous match. I mean, it still was tremendous. It was so tremendous that weird moment didn't take it away. I think you note on that was like, ande mali lang yun. Pero the match on the whole was, I was losing my shit and I was tired. But at that point, I was literally like, no inhibitions. I'm freaking out about what is happening to these two fictional men. I want to want what I want to happen so badly, and the people next to me wanted the opposite. It was such great energy. People were like, and then that waterboarding thing made people like, it pushed it over the top. It was like, what? It was that kind of like iyakan moment of the best that wrestling can be.
what do you guys think about all of Ralph's past challengers coming out, like the Ghosts of Christmas Past?
See, that was the, you know, when Mikey here talked about how maddened Ralph was as a champion, how he didn't want to win this anymore. Mm. I'm gonna put myself over here and say,
Kamu style.
That it reminded me a lot about Thanos and Endgame, and how in Endgame, Thanos, after he did the snap, didn't have anything else to do, right? So this is essentially what Ralph is. He's at the very top. He's at the highest level he can get at. So what else left is there left to do? You know what I mean? Right. Like, he's there. He's lonely at the top. He's done everything. He's done everything that
he's
he can do.
He's fucked everyone over.
Yeah, right? So what else can he do? And he's just... He's got nothing else to lose, essentially, because he's at the top and he feels like nobody can touch him, right? And you see this as the match progresses, the how he holds the moral high ground, the power, I want to do this on my own, but then at the same time loses his shit and says, fuck it, I'm still the champion, I'm walking out of here.
I think, on the contrary, I think it would have been more powerful if he didn't leave with the belt. What I think it was... Because why does he care about the belt again? That's what. But there was that moment of you gusto mo yung lumang Ralph Mabashi and dito na ako. Then he takes the YOLO twins away, and then he's obviously losing na towards the end. So then he'll run away. I think the signal could have been, I'm running away. I know I'm gonna lose. I don't care na.
Okay.
And then the wrestlers come out and say, no, you go out there and lose the way you're supposed to. But when he took the belt again, it's like, does this mean he wants the YOLO twins back? Parang. He did, kasi the reason that I'm saying this is because he sent the YOLO twins away.
Yes.
So parang may shift na in his mind na. Hindi, ayoko na, ito na yun. If I'm gonna lose, this is it. This is what I want. I want someone who's better than me to beat me, and I'm no cheating this time.
Yeah.
Tinalo ko na siya, first of all. Nakuha na niya via shenanigans ng konti.
Yeah.
So this time, I was like, shit, pure wrestler. I think I'm gonna lose this. Talo na ako, alis na lang ako. Ayoko mapahiya na matalo. Alam ko naman natalo ako. But instead, he comes back with the belt. So it becomes about heel again. Okay. I'm a heel. I'm holding I want to remain champion. Which didn't register. Parang, it's not as powerful to me as a guy who wants to lose but can't bear to do it.
Yeah,
I think that's more exciting than I want to remain champion.
I feel like, for me, I felt I never lost sight of the fact that Ralph was the heel in this scenario, even with the waterboarding. Confusing yun,
so
yes.
Okay lang yun
that,
for you.
That, no, I'm going to say that it's confusing. But at the same time, I can still appreciate the fact that Ralph, in this context, is still the bad guy. He's still the big bad that everybody has to beat in order to call themselves the top guy in the promotion. And that said, I feel like this whole psyche of his, parang twisting in his head, he betrayed his best friend.
Mm-hmm.
He fucking wants to lose but doesn't really quite lose. So he feels like he has nothing else to lose. It's almost conflicting in himself when you see it play out like that. And I feel like psychologically, not wrestling psychology, but psychologically, it's still beautiful to observe.
It was great. One last thing, I appreciated that there was no in-ring trash talk. Like, they didn't trash talk. They didn't talk shit. They knew what they had to do and they did it.
The corner man talked more shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And got kicked out.
No, both sets. Both sets got kicked out.
I know.
Yeah, we failed to put Kamus over as a RevoX main eventer.
He's put himself over multiple times. We can move on.
It's all coming back to you now. All the fat jokes.
I'm just adding to your shit, man.
Yeah.
That was a long-ass review for a long-ass show. So let's close it out with the awards. Let's start with match of the night. Which did you feel was the match of the night?
Oh, the main event.
Oh, yeah. I was actually going to go for the Battle Royale.
Okay. Mm.
Go for it.
Bookends.
No problem.
That's
bookends.
Fair.
It's fair.
All right. How about the spot of the night?
Kupal ba ako pag sinabi kong hindi yung proposal? Is that like...
Ay, o nga, no? Siguro tayong dalawa kupal. I wasn't even thinking of that.
Right? No, exactly. Yeah. I mean...
I
don't think it's a spot.
Yeah, it's a
I think it's a great moment, though.
Yeah,
it's a great moment.
It's not
but
a spot. It's not a spot.
Yes,
yeah, what the
exactly.
Hell?
So it doesn't count.
Okay, no, so that's your moment count. Of the night.
No,
okay.
No, no.
No,
saying,
the proposal is your moment of the night.
That's not what he's saying.
That's...
What I'm saying here is that you're reclassifying things. So that's your moment.
No, it's not.
It's not what he's saying. He didn't say it.
That's not. He is not counting the proposal at all.
We are not counting it, essentially. We're trying to justify why we're not counting it.
Okay, so what is
But congratulations, by the way.
Congratulations, Fred.
This is the moment.
We're not saying that your moment lacks flying and stuff. Oh,
my God. Okay, so what is your spot of the night, Chino?
My spot of the night is Panzer's heel turn.
Okay.
That's so weird. That was your spot of the night?
Yes!
So
okay, yeah. That was the spot. For me, it was the waterboarding.
What? What?
Wow. Yes.
Wow.
For positive or negative?
Oh, yeah, because he wanted Ralph to win.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was significant also as a signal to PWR to to consider things the way they do.
Okay.
Okay. How about moment of the night? Sige, so para mapanatagil og ni Camus na yung moment of the night side.
Obviously, the proposal, di ba?
I'm gonna say waterboarding.
We're all going to hell.
Yeah,
but you're going to hell.
He picked the spot of the night. What are you talking about?
All right.
Sorry, you know what is a moment of the night? Also, was the last fall of Quattro.
Okay.
That was a euphoric moment.
Yes, yes, okay.
How about your star of the night?
Oh, man. How can I answer that? I only watched this. This is the first time I've watched this in a while.
Of the night, money.
It's
of
the night.
In a bubble.
Yeah. I think it has for me it has to be Ralph.
Okay, go for it.
I was actually going to say Ralph as well.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, Quattro.
No, interesting.
Any looks or any gear, any special outfits that stood out to you throughout the show?
The All Out War.
All Out War. Yeah.
Belt.
The belt.
That was
a good touch.
All right, time to give Revo X a grade. So we use the
Camus's gear as Boy George, which he claims to not be. But that's all.
Chino, do you really want to hurt him? Do you really want to make him cry?
He has put so much effort into his costume.
Okay,
okay. That's what happens when you're bunko. You can only put on costumes.
We use the S tier system. S being the best show, and then we go down A, B, C, D. F, it was a garbage fire. Hot mess of a show. So what's the grade for Revolution X 2019?
It is the best wrestling show I've seen in 3 years. So I have to give it an S.
Okay. Fair.
That's fair. I'd give it actually an A minus.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For the length, takes a lot out of the appreciation.
That's
okay. I'm not saying
why the double pat on the back, you two?
You
Stan and Ro patted Chino on the back.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Since it's an oral format, we'll explain. I feel like it. Hindi naman sa wrestling elitist ako.
Pero wrestling elitist ka.
I try to justify my elitism. Anyway, I feel like it takes a certain level of appreciation to watch long things.
No,
kasi parang pag
hindi, is this the art critic coming out again?
Pag hindi ka sanay, you won't appreciate it as much. I don't
know. True.
Sanay. To watch long matches. I tend to zone out in long matches, and I watch a lot of wrestling.
That is valid.
So what more for people who watch the show for the first time, who decide to watch the big thing,
like Mikey,
right? No, not even Mikey, because Mikey's a fan essentially. But if you're
a girlfriend
walking into PWR saying, "Now, oh, let's watch this," because they say this is the biggest show of the
year. Or a boyfriend.
Diba?
Yeah, a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Yeah, hindi wrestling fan. Yeah,
hindi wrestling fan and gets dragged to these shows. So parang, bakit ang haba, diba?
That is a perfectly valid concern.
Diba? Parang, it takes away. It takes a lot away. And these are points that I've raised no matter the promotion. So.
Okay. Mikey, any other thoughts? Like, were your expectations met, especially for you? Na it's been exactly 4 years since your last PWR event and you come back for RevoX 2019.
No, I'll say it surpassed my expectations. Because like now it changes like the whole expectation framework. Now, I feel like all of the things I said now, I wouldn't say if it was the promotion of 4 years ago. But since it's like ibang level na, okay, now I can say things that I can say. Now it's not unfair if I say things like whatever it is that I said today.
Waterboarding.
Now, I want to close out the review by ending with you, Mikey, because I remember one of the things we talked about through the rise of PWR was your biggest question, which was, what is the revolution?
Right.
I remember this very well, and you actually wrote about it years ago on smarkhenry.ph.
Right. I think it's time for another
to update it. I agree.
Yeah, yeah. So we don't have to delve into it very deeply because this podcast is way too long now.
Right.
But do you have an answer now to that question?
No.
What is the revolution?
No. But I think what happens now is all the more I feel like we are right to ask it. We are now right to even expect it moving forward. I was like, you're great, you're amazing, you're better than all the other promotions, you put on the best shows, but you say you're a revolution, you stand for something. What do you stand for? That's what I want to see. I mean, because you'll say good wrestling, okay, but you know, that's good wrestling, but you say Philippine Wrestling Revolution, what do you mean by that? And I think now that you have the fan base and the narrative and the skill and the venue and the following, I think you're obligated to start answering that question soon.
Okay. And on that note, we're going to end the Revolution X review of the SGP podcast right here. I just want to get that article out of you, man. Like, I really want to see those thoughts fleshed out. But in the meantime, if you have any thoughts you want to send our way to the reviewers or to us here on the podcast, you can hit us up on social media. It's at Mikey Lirin, at the SGP podcast for the show, at Chino Supersized, at Rose War, at Caveman Camus, and at _ Stancy.
Don't say Mikey, but I'm kaaway na.
Alright, so expect to send Twitter mentions. Yeah. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming together here on a Thursday night. You know, I'm not even gonna ask for picks of the week anymore because it was just crazy week in wrestling.
Waterboarding
pick of the week.
It clearly it wasn't easy to consume all that content, let alone break it down, talk about it, and process it. To you, the listeners who've stuck through over 2 hours of podcasting at this point, thank you so much for getting through this with us. And thank you to everyone who supported Philippine Wrestling last Sunday for Revolution X. We really appreciate it. I personally am overwhelmed by all the people who were there, who stayed until the end, who stayed until the meet and greet portion, and who continue to support Philippine Wrestling and PWR. So don't miss the next show. It's going to be on June 30. Still at the Power Max Center Spotlight with a yet-to-be-named title.
TBD pa.
Yeah, PWR Live TBD. Right, so on behalf of our reviewers, Mikey Lorien and Chino Liao, and Romaran and Raf Camus, my name is Stancy, and we are ending episode number 270 of the SGP podcast.
That's a nice, like, 270 to end season 5.
Yeah.
That's a nice number.
All right, we're out of here.